following program is intended for mature audiences.
The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Time to wake up!
Hey, what are you doing here? About to go on the air!
Uh-oh.
Get out of bed. Resistance is futile.
Back to reality.
I love that show.
It's very hip to be on the show.
We ain't one at a time in here.
They broadcast me out on the radio.
We're mass communicating.
Best show since no other show.
I absolutely love you. You're thoroughly entertaining.
Get ready to taste some sweet ear candy.
Okay, here we go.
It's showtime.
Gentlemen.
This is The Cue.
Let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
You dig it?
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Cue, of course. My name is Mark Bland, and you are listening to the best in moderate liberal political talk, as well as pop culture, current events, and all that grand stuff that we put out every single week. Every single week we do these things here, hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri, right there on that good old grand Mississippi River. Do they still call it Old Man Mississippi?
The M-I, crooked letter I, humpback I.
I don't know if they still call it, do they still call it the Mighty Mississippi?
I think they call it Old Muddy now.
I think they do. I think they call them both.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
Who's they?
Without me getting too deep here, first off, I want to welcome Dan Walsh, of course, back to the show. Dan, yes. How you been, man? You doing good?
I'm a little tired, but I'm
all right. You're a little tired.
Yeah,
you were telling me that some news hit your heart. We're going to talk about that news here in just a few seconds, so hold on here.
I'll try and hold it together.
Producer Bobby is here as well, as
what
he
up?
Usually does join us. And ladies and gentlemen, literally 24 hours after being on TV for WWE Monday Night Raw and giving a speech about how you will be remembered once you die, Ultimate Warrior collapsed and died Tuesday night. We will discuss this. The American Blogger is coming out. Not sure if it's serious or a parody of itself. We'll judge together as we listen to the trailer for said show and movie. And finally, our friend and tech guru of the Apple world, Jesse Barbin, is sitting in to crack wise and talk with us. Jesse, welcome to The Cue, sir.
Thank you for having me aboard. I appreciate it.
No, we appreciate you coming in and joining the party, buddy.
I'm enjoying myself thoroughly. Thank you for sitting me next to producer Bobby.
Did you get a delicious water while you were standing out waiting to get into the show?
The best tap water.
The absolute best tap water that we could ever provide for you.
Only the
Wait
finest
a second.
Of artesian tap.
That's not tap, though, is it? That's not tap.
It's two parts hydrogen.
Right. One part oxygen.
I know that.
Let's just go with that.
Pretty intense.
That's all right. Very good.
Well, ladies
That's
and gentlemen,
chemistry.
let's start this show off on a very interesting note because, first off, I got to talk about me and Bobby. When me and Bobby get together, things can be a little...
Stuff happens.
Stuff does happen. That's all I can say.
We do crazy Halloween shows.
We do crazy Halloween shows at Jesse's house, by the way, army crawling through his backyard drunk.
At about a good 11:45 in the evening.
Oh, of course.
I throw a party.
He throws a great party.
I hope your neighbors weren't mad, by the way.
You do throw an amazing party. That was my first time ever being at that party, and I literally chopped him, army crawled with him through your back area, your
common ground.
And then I turned around and ripped his shirt off, and we burned his shirt in your chimney.
I'm sure all the guests really appreciated Bobby's shirt being burned in the chimney. So
by the time that we got to that point, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. So I don't think that anybody was really paying attention.
Fair enough.
And Bobby also did eat an entire box of nerds in
box,
the box still.
Box and nerds.
And spit them out and was
the
talking
box
to
of nerds.
Like the best was when Jesse's explaining to him to like stand over the sink.
Please
and
be
then
careful.
He turns,
I just cleaned the house.
Yeah, he turns to Jesse to talk to Jesse with the nerds in his mouth and they just come spilling out.
All over the ground. I expect nothing less from
He
Bobby.
Didn't want to be rude.
He was trying to share
like,
without
hey,
using his hands.
Open up. I'll just, whatever I got in here will be like birds.
Fair enough. But anyway, the other night, me and Bobby decided we were going to take a peruse around his complex where he and his family live. And we witnessed a young lady go into some convulsions, and the police came and some stuff with that. And then as soon as we got back to Bobby's house, it leads to our first story. Because we get back to his house, I jump onto Twitter, And I immediately see a tweet from one Mr. Rowdy Roddy Piper.
The Hot Rod.
The Hot Rod from WWE, the legendary icon of professional wrestling. Basically explaining that the Ultimate Warrior has to win. Now, for me being a professional wrestler at one point in my life, and I still consider myself a part of the business. I don't consider myself a wrestler like Dan Walsh now, okay? We work in the business. I mean, I still consider myself a wrestler, but not talent like that. I just
not
more talent. Not an active wrestler. I'm more of a talent guy.
I'm not really all that much of a wrestler.
No, you're fine.
Like, I put on the trunks and stuff.
You're the heavyweight champion of the Q, dude.
I am. And for that, yeah. Let me retract my last statement. Did you hear that?
I love the fact that he comes up with the name Polar Vortex on the show just to add something on, and now he requires every time he goes to the ring announce him as the Polar Vortex.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have a move, too. It's called the Polar Vortex. I think I'm going to spit cold water in someone's face and give him a neck breaker.
Really? Is that what you're going for?
Why not?
I think you should do a spinning spine buster and call it the Polar Vortex.
We could do that too.
I think that would be sick. But and where I think does you polar pull it off?
I say we do like a vote on the website.
Where's the polar come from?
Where's the polar come from? I like the spitting the cold water in someone's face.
Yeah, I really spit the cold water. Yeah, and that's cold.
It says I'm here.
You're chilly.
It says I'm here.
You probably have harder nipples now because of the cold water. And now I'm going to give you a spinning spine buster and hurt you. Because, I mean, that's just insult to injury. Nobody likes being hurt. Nobody likes being hurt cold.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. I respect that. Touche. Touche. Very good.
Touche.
So anyway, we get back to Bobby's house, and I get tweets that say that the Ultimate Warrior passed away. Now, this is kind of a blow to me because I literally, on Sunday night, I watched WrestleMania. He's standing on stage as a part of the Hall of Fame crowd.
I watched
because
it.
Because he was entered
live.
Into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I watched it live. It was probably one of the coolest moments as a wrestling fan I've ever seen.
Now, mind you, at the time that I'm sitting at Bobby's house, literally would have been 24 hours earlier, this man is standing in the middle of the ring on Monday Night Raw, also hailing from New Orleans.
Correct.
Okay. And he is giving a speech. Now, Bobby, do you have that queued up for
me
there? We're going to play the Ultimate Warrior speech that he gave on Monday Night Raw prior to his passing.
Speak to me, Warrior!
Now, Dan, have you seen this?
What I was going to say this evening, it's been hard for me to find the words. That's...
Oh! Is he donning the mask?
Oh, this is going to be great.
Yeah, he actually puts the mask on, I believe, at this point.
There you go! There's the Warrior!
He came out to the ring with the coat on. I put the mask on.
Well, then... You shut up, Warrior, and let me do the talking.
Oh, he's talking in third person, of course.
No WWE talent becomes a legend on their own. Every man's heart one day beats its final beat. His lungs breathe their final breath. And if what that man did in his life makes the blood pulse through the body of others and makes them bleed deeper in something than larger than life, then his essence, his spirit, will be immortalized by the storytellers, by the loyalty, by the memory of those who honor him and make the running the man did live forever. You are the legend makers of Ultimate Warrior. In the back, I see many potential legends, some of them with warrior spirits, and you will do the same for them. You will decide if they lived with a passion and intensity, so much so that you will tell your stories and you will make them legends as well. I am Ultimate Warrior. You are the Ultimate Warrior fans. And the spirit of Ultimate Warrior will run forever.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so that was the speech that Jim Helwig, a.k.a. Ultimate Warrior, gave on Monday Night Raw less than 24 hours before passing away. And, Bobby, you have some background on this a little bit. You got a little bit of background of what happened to Ultimate Warrior.
So Jim, a.k.a. The Warrior, was in Arizona after being in New Orleans through Monday, and he was with his wife. They were walking to their car. And Jim grabbed his chest and fell. That's really all that anybody knows. Over the weekend, a lot of the superstars, legend, X-Pac in particular, had said that Jim just didn't look comfortable. He looked uncomfortable the whole time, grabbing at his chest like something was going on. And he kept trying to loosen his tie all the time. And then they said he seemed very fatigued, even while just sitting in a chair. And apparently, you know, the Warrior was always someone who sat up. He was just slouched the whole weekend. They said that he just, it almost looked like he knew something was happening.
It's possible. And what's really weird about, like, you guys heard the audio of that speech. It's so eerie. It's so odd. Jesse, were you a big fan of the Ultimate Warrior? Do you pay attention to?
I did pay attention to professional wrestling back in the day, early, mid, late 90s.
Okay.
In the odd years, I felt, you know, I was a fan. I don't follow it adamantly anymore, but it is a sad loss for the community. Absolutely.
Definitely, definitely. Now, Dan Walsh, walking up to the studio, and you, this one took you a little bit by surprise.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like it was written. That's why I didn't believe it at first. I'm like, oh, the guy makes this epic full circle comeback. I mean, if you knew about the business, especially when you started to know a little bit about, like, the inside of just how this guy was. Like, you know, he was kind of known to be a loose cannon, and there was a big fallout with WWE, and it took all these years to get him back. And he finally comes back, if for anything, then for the fans, comes back, makes that great speech, and then 24 hours later, he's passed away. Same thing about people saying he was, like, fatigued and stuff like that, but I didn't know if that was just people linking it to it because something happened. But I mean, we have somebody that we know that was actually, like, that working for Metro that was actually right there, like, with him the whole weekend. So I'll be interested later on kind of what happens. But I think in the end, man, let's all be real. I mean, the gentleman was using steroids. I mean, that was obvious.
For many years. Right.
So,
for many years.
That's going to take a toll on
still,
your body.
Was he still?
He is in his promos. Like, I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah,
but
he's still,
it's
like...
It's not... I don't mean to,
he's
like,
just maintaining at this point. Like, he doesn't need to stay current on
him. No, and I'm not saying that. But, I mean, he was very... Bigger was to look the part. So,
oh, of course.
I'm
of
not
course.
Saying he's going out there like he did in the 80s with, like, you know, juicing and coking at the same time. But
right.
That stuff's strenuous on your heart, and he probably knew, or maybe he had some news that his heart was already failing and knew that this was the time to go back. If now, you know, because he, like Bobby said, he felt maybe not that close, but like sometime soon, I'm probably going to pass. I want to make amends. I want this to end without all the speculation. He wanted it to end the right way, and then it just so happens he does it and then passes 24 hours later.
We'll see, like at the Hall of Fame, one of the big things, you know, well, here, let's play this clip and then we'll talk about it.
Sure.
Now, now you're being kind. And we'll talk a little bit about that. The one more match thing isn't going to happen, but other bigger things are going to happen.
And see, with that right there, and then him passing, it seems like he knew that there wasn't time for that.
I don't think he was alluding.
That's what he was linking to?
I don't think he was alluding
Listen,
to that.
No more matches, but I got one more. I'm going to die.
That's
a big trick.
Like,
No. Like, what I mean is,
I see what you're saying, Bob.
He wasn't going to do a match because he, when he signed this multi deal or whatever, because it's apparently from what I read, it was a 3-year deal where he was just going to do random appearances for WWE.
It's the Hall of Fame contract, the Legends contract.
Yeah, the Legends contract. But some of these guys have put in there that they will do one more match, and it's so eerie to me that he chose not to do one more match. He's made peace, essentially, where, you know, life kind of just comes full circle. where you make peace with everything.
And that's where I want this too, is like, so we've talked a little bit about religion and things over the last few shows here on the Cube. And I wanted to bring this up, and the idea that when we were sitting there talking last night, or the other night when this happened, basically the idea that maybe it's not about a spiritual being. Maybe literally life and the way fate deals you your hand is based off of like completing, like, you know how they always say that like your life is planned out.
Yeah.
God knows what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? From beginning to end.
Right.
Maybe there is some truth to that. Maybe. Maybe there's some truth to this. There's a full thing. And like whatever your heart's deepest desire is, that's kind of what leads to the end goal of what that circle is supposed to be.
Correct.
And maybe in his heart, he wanted to be loved and respected and a professional wrestling superstar. And he got all those pieces, but then it fallen apart at some point. And until he was able to kind of get that back together, then it's not over. It's right, not complete. Right. So 20 full years go by, and then all of a sudden, he gets the Hall of Fame induction. He's amongst his peers. They're respecting him again. The fans are cheering his name again. It's all come full circle one night. You know what I'm saying? And therefore, fate looks at the situation, goes, all right, we're good.
And I see,
we're good.
I see that to an extent until you look at someone like a Randy Savage.
True. All right, fair enough. Like, I can understand that. You know, that was also a big blow to everybody.
Yeah, but
Randy had exited the business. Randy didn't really have... Randy had continued to work even after WWE, continued with WCW. He eventually stopped. I mean, his body couldn't take it anymore. It was a little bit different than Jim Helwig, who was cut off at his prime with the WWE because of a decision to basically hold the championship hostage, makes enemies with the business. He didn't go out the right way. He didn't go out the way. He didn't have that closure to where Savage could at least say, you know what, I wrestled a full career. Maybe I don't want to die of a heart attack and go in opposite traffic, but I've had, of what I've loved most, I got to do a full stint. 20 years was taken out of the Warriors' career.
Absolutely,
20 years that he never got to build on to except when he was at the height. And I think it was important that he went back. He had said numerous times, though, even before this happened in his One Warrior Nation videos, that he's not going to go back into the ring because he said the ring is about the youth, the next generation. And he always would criticize guys like Kevin Nash, guys that would stay in there because he's like, you are taking someone else's spot.
You're wearing out your welcome.
And his whole thing is like, it's not my place to get in the ring because I'm not the future anymore. These next guys are the future. That's why when he did indie bookings, he didn't wrestle. Because it wasn't about him as a wrestler. It was about him and what he did, and it was supposed to showcase the guys of today.
You know, I almost feel like, okay, I get like fame like as like a movie star or something like that. You know what I'm saying, Jesse? Like, I understand fame, but I also like... I look at it as, at a certain point, once you achieve a certain amount of success, I think that it is very imperative for you to give back, play the teacher role, be a mentor of some sort. And I'm not saying that every single job that you could possibly do in this world leads to those opportunities. But I would say that fame, anything where you become famous, whether it's being in radio, TV, movies, music, something like that, I think at a certain point, you almost get to an age where it's not about making a name for yourself anymore because you've already done that. It's now about taking that credibility that you've built and handing it over and showing younger people who are willing to learn, of course. It's got to be somebody who wants to learn. But show them the way. Show them how it works out. That's why I think it's great that WWE has certain road agents who are like, you know, Ricky Steamboat and people like that. You know, just well-known guys from the past who understand this business and are willing to help young talent. I think that that's a great thing. And I'm really sad to hear that Ultimate Warrior passed away. Now, I'll be the first to admit, Warrior wasn't my favorite when I was a kid. Nothing against Warrior. Nothing against Hogan. Nothing against, you know, certain people. And we could talk a little bit, but before we hit the top of the break, WrestleMania was this weekend, you know? That's where Warrior did his Hall of Fame induction and all that.
Correct.
We also had another huge story come out of WrestleMania, something that none of us saw coming, which was the end of the Undertaker streak. It was the end of the Undertaker streak.
Lesnar countered. He's got Undertaker up in his shoulders again.
Not again.
Going for a triple. A third F5 to the Undertaker. Brock Lesnar into the cover. Hugs the leg. The streak.
And you hear cheers. You hear cheers. But it quickly goes from cheers to almost dead silent in that arena.
Yeah.
Like, listen.
Right there.
It's just not like a WrestleMania moment. completely the opposite of a WrestleMania moment, but arguably the biggest WrestleMania moment of the last 20 years.
You had grown men crying.
Yeah.
There's memes going around of this one African-American guy just standing there with his hands on his head going, "Did I see Jesus?" Like, there's all kinds of different memes of this guy because he's
talking about
shown
the ones with the glasses, the black guy with the big eyes and everything.
And he's shown like four times.
Oh yeah,
when they show the crowd,
dude. Even Lesnar guy wasn't like, you know, he like marked out heavy for when Lesnar returned.
Yeah,
even he was just like stunned. Like, you would think that that's the ultimate Lesnar markout moment. It's right. Like, you just beat the longest angle in history. Bah! Like, no, he's just like, what happened?
Because it's one of those things like you won it. But then when it happens, you're like, oh, no, maybe I didn't
My
want
favorite
it.
Is actually this gentleman by the name of Louis Benson. Great guy. Hung out,
and I love Louis.
We're going to talk about Louis because me and Louis hung out at Comic-Con. I went to St. Louis Comic-Con this past weekend. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that happened down there and all that coming up here shortly, as well as we're going to talk to Jesse about a little bit about what he's been doing and what he's been up to, old friend of the show. And but basically, Louis recorded a video of his reaction the moment that it happened. Like, literally, they're just, like, recording audio and recording video of them watching WrestleMania live. And it's hilarious as he dives onto the ground, points at the screen, and just goes, like, just laughing, uncontrollably laughing at the screen. And how all the people there are just stunned at how stupid they look for being stunned. Like, it was really entertaining. Now, I had a guy who was sitting with me. We went over to a buddy of me and Jesse's house, actually, Rob. We went over to Rob's house. We were hanging out there. Our friend Corey, who was sitting there right next to us, he had a few in him. Corey literally refused to watch the rest of the pay-per-view. Literally refused to watch the rest of the pay-per-view. Did not even literally crack a beer, went into the garage, smoked some cigarettes, drank some beers, and did not watch the rest of WrestleMania. Refused to.
I'm sorry. That was the thing of the night. I probably, if I was watching it, I would have gotten up and left and been like, I don't need to see anymore.
It overshadowed the main event.
I would need to go collect myself if I'm still, it's 2 days. I haven't watched a match, and it's been days, and I still can't get it in my head.
My wife thought I was going to break down and cry.
How?
You should have. She asked me if I was going to call into work the next
day.
I'm almost
31 years old, and that has affected me for days. How sad is my life?
Has it really affected you that much?
Yeah, man. I just feel like I don't know anything anymore. All right. World's so cold.
Well, yeah, I think it did overshadow the WWE main event, but enough with that. No big deal there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about time for us to take a quick break here on The Q. I would like to welcome every single one of you to theqnow.com. That is our website where you can find out a little bit about myself and producer Bobby and Dan Walsh, a little bit about the show, as well as the roller coaster 5K that we've got coming up.
Yeah, the roller coaster race 5K.
That's right.
If you want to know more information, check out theqnow.com or go to rollercoasterrace.com. Sign up on the contest page to be part of Team Q.
That's right. Team Q is getting ready to knock it out of the park, and we're going to work on Dan Walsh on something else. We'll talk about that here on the show in a little bit. We'll be back on The Q right after this. I was lying on the grass of Sunday. Gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, Mark Bland joined today by Dan Walsh, the Polar Vortex heavyweight champ of The Q.
In the flesh.
As well as Jesse Barbin, our favorite tech guru for the app products of the world. He is an Apple man.
He's not going to game off the Apple products.
He's not going to. Did you know that Bobby did that?
Yes.
Producer, game off. No, seriously. He game offed the entire Apple product line. Said that he was switching to anything that was non-Apple. It happened to be a Windows-based phone. That lasted for a month and a half. Then turned around and came back and said, I'm going back to Apple. I got to get an Apple.
Switch. I encourage you all to switch. And then you'll be back.
And then you'll come back.
Apple is like the Scientology of phones. Go ahead. No, don't mind us. We're in your bushes, but that's okay. We know you'll come back to our devices.
Apple has a cool product that's launching, I think, this year called CarPlay. So it's similar to the...
It's not a product, but okay.
Why don't you let the guy? Why don't you let the assistant vice president of national distribution for
this
Apple?
This is kind of what he does, Bobby.
Yeah, it's kind of his job.
Let Bobby explain it. That's part of the entertainment on the show when Bobby tries to thoroughly explain anything.
Go ahead, Bobby. Explain it to
you people. No, CarPlay is similar. From what I've read, it's similar to how the AirPlay works with like an Apple TV. You link the two together, and then whatever you're doing on your phone, you can. Wirelessly, it's kind of Apple's version of like the NFC near field communication thing.
Interesting.
Great explanation, Bobby.
I love how Jesse just kind of sits there and stares.
Sits there and looks.
I don't know if that's because he's amazed that you may have done that accurately or
no.
If he's so off. That
Well, Bobby took something that's very simple and turned it into a complicated explanation. Now people have no idea what it is. It just allows you to connect your iPhone to a car and it fully integrates it in. So your maps become the maps on your vehicle. Siri, you can hear Siri inside of your vehicle. You can speak to her and allow her to send out your text messages.
Siri's a little bitch. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm
Change
not a big
her.
Fan.
Change her.
Don't even care.
Australian, bro.
She's not as accurate as you would like her to be. I'm just going to be honest. Like, I've tried multiple times. It could be the way I speak. Considering I don't like
yeah,
use
yeah.
Real
don't
words.
Give yourself too much credit there.
Right, yeah.
Siri's always way off, except I'm always speaking to her with food in my mouth or when I'm angry.
This guy, he is just not going to...
Did you and Siri have a hookup at the holiday party one time? What's Siri like in real life?
Did you see the movie Her?
Let me guess. Is she condescending?
You know what? I can't recall exactly. If you
There's
look it up
online... There's
an
episode of The Big Bang Theory.
Well, she... So there was a couple of women out there that were, I'm the Siri. However, they actually did an interview with the... And I believe she's foreign, but she spent X amount of weeks inside of a recording booth, and she just... So went through a dictionary. They gave her sheets of different papers to speak, and she just went through and said it all, and they paid her one lump sum. She had no idea what it was going to be used for, and she said, like, 5-10 years later, whatever, Siri comes out, and she's like, that's my voice. And turns out she had no idea. So lady from, I don't know, Europe or
wasn't
Australia.
Wasn't Siri, though, also originally an app? It wasn't an Apple product. It was an app, and then Apple bought it?
Yeah, I think there was some acquisition of Siri, the actual voice. I believe there was, you know, maybe Google and Apple were involved, but I'm not going to speculate there because if anyone gets wind of that,
fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, hey, listen, Jesse has a monumental career in professional radio prior to his world of Apple that he is now a part of. And,
absolutely does.
You were were you an intern, would you say, or were you a production manager? What did you do? You worked with the Stephen DC Morning Show for quite a few years.
I started as an intern, but I ended up as a full-time personality.
Right.
Yeah.
And so how long were you with those guys?
What would you say?
It was about
a two-year time frame.
It was about
2 years.
Give
or take.
Really?
Yeah.
So what made you get into it? Like, I know why I got into radio.
Do you want to know the real answer?
I know why Bobby got into radio. No, well, you know what? I think this could be the show where Bobby just answers all the questions for Jesse.
No, no, no.
Jesse comes back and lets us know what the actual answer is.
And then Jesse gets angry because Bobby made it way too complicated.
No, no, no. Jesse just laughed and looked at me, but correct me if I'm wrong, but apparently there was a...
That'll happen.
Apparently there was a Craigslist ad that was out there.
Yep.
And then
really?
Jesse just responded
so far.
Jesse responded to the Craigslist ad and was there the next day, got into a fight with this kid named Taylor, yeah. And became an epic part of the DC and the Family radio show.
Now, as a part of the DC and the Family radio show, as well as Stephen DC, you were there with Stephen DC, though, weren't you?
Well, we're not going to get into that long story. However, I was not specifically in with Stephen DC. However, my family had some small history with Stephen DC. They did one of their big Halloween shows at one of the mansions that our family had owned. It was like a long family deal.
Wait a second. So the legendary Stephen DC Halloween shows, okay? One of them emulated from some family property. Like, tell us a little bit about this family property or what this situation is, because I've never heard this story.
Yeah.
And I've known you for a while.
Well, I was younger. I can still recall. However, I was still out trick-or-treating at the time, so I wasn't able to really partake. But if I can recall correctly, it was the McPike Mansion in Illinois.
And your family's involved with the McPike, because I was at the McPike Mansion as an intern the night that happened.
Were you really?
Yes, I was. That was one of my first major...
Then you met my father.
Yeah, that was one of my first... I don't know if I met your father. I probably did. It was so many years ago.
Sure.
I can't remember at all, but I had no clue that you guys were involved with the McPike Mansion. Is that a family...
Yeah, piece of it land belonged or? To like my great great aunt. My grandmother grew up there, etc. But there's a bunch of nonsense going around about buried treasure somewhere. Not treasure, but a ton of money buried out there. And there was some ghost stories and potential, underground railroad connections.
Now, you've been in that many a time, probably.
I've been there a few times. Never been scared nor any concern for a Halloween show. However, they had psychics and paranormal experts out there, and they had some evidence. And if you go back...
Does your dad have any stories? Like, does your family have any stories of the days of before all that?
Nothing that would... pique anyone's interest, if you will. However, they did state that my father specifically stated that there were some potential paranormal phenomenologies that happened during the process of filming this show, whereas the power went out, or when they were in the what they thought was like a slave cellar, etc. And there was no way for anything to get down there. And in the video recording, you saw all these orbs, etc. It looked like it was raining inside of the basement or whatever you would want to call it. But I can't recall the. It's been a long time. I mean, it was recorded on VHS, so take
Fair
it for
enough.
What you will.
Oh, of course.
The quality there is going to be amazing. I'm sure you'll pick up a lot.
I'm just saying. 1080p. I remember the night of the situation, and the most interesting piece of that McPike show was the fact that at some point, Steve and DC are down by the cellar, and they talked about a girl on a tricycle.
Yeah.
Like, in the cellar. Like, that's the most thing that reminded
me. Talking about
that,
seeing a girl?
Seeing a girl, or the story of a little girl on a tricycle in the cellar. And the other thing that I do remember that was really odd, that was true, and I think we've talked about this on the show when we had DC on, was the fact that there was a problem with the batteries.
Yeah.
Every single time I had to go out to the truck, or Skippy the Lyric guy had to go out to the truck, or whoever it was, we get new batteries. They were fresh, brand new, out of the pack. Sometimes I actually unwrapped the packs myself. We went through this like 4 or 5 times to bring them in for the microphones, because the microphones kept losing
power
literally.
Yeah.
And the batteries were dead.
That does sound
was
in line.
Was it Ravac?
They weren't
because in that case, that's not paranormal.
I don't even know if
Rayovac. I get that with my remote control.
I don't even know if Rayovac existed. But they probably as a company existed, but I don't remember those batteries. It was Duracell.
Were they lithium ion though? That's the truth.
Yeah. No, I don't know. This is
so
the
you're
90s.
Trying to tell
this
me
this is the mid 90s. Beepers were popular still. Like
you're
we still
trying
had real
to tell
phones.
Me that the copper top couldn't withstand the challenge.
The copper top did not withstand the challenge.
Then I am a full believer that this was paranormal. You have convinced me right there.
Dan Walsh is completely paranormally activated at
my,
this point.
My mom at one point was, she was a rep for Energizer. So if you brought up Duracell, she got real irritated. So my brother would mess with her sometimes, and she'd be like, do you have a flashlight? And he's like, yeah. He goes, I just packed it full of those really good batteries you gave us. What are they, Duracell? And she would just like get really perturbed looking. And it's about batteries, dude. So every time I see Duracell, I laugh.
Fair enough.
It's a coffer top. I just thought I'd just tell all you guys that for no reason.
I appreciate you bringing that up.
Okay, back to the Haunted Mansion, the actual interesting story.
So, anyway.
No, but your story, even being an intern and being, what, 10, 12 years ago, I mean, that is in line with the stories I've heard.
Oh, no,
what
no,
I
no.
Remember.
We're talking almost 20 years ago.
Sure.
As of next year, yeah.
I can't count, so it doesn't matter.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
No, but, and then, you know, the only other thing I can hear that was, or that I remember that was, kind of piqued my interest was, when they initially went into the mansion, there was a lot of sightings of a ghostly woman figure at the top of the staircase, if you can recall.
It was your Aunt Marge?
It was my Aunt Marge.
Fair enough. All right. That's Dan Walsh. You know what? Dan Walsh.
Good old Marge.
We talked about this. Are you in for a haunted house? Are you in for a Halloween spectacular for the Q show
this
year?
Like a legit haunted house?
Like legit real paranormal.
I'll go into a paranormal house. I'm not going to go into a factory that just a bunch of dudes dress up.
See,
and
now we
got to
do
wall.
A factory. We got to see Dan Walsh, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk a little bit about this with this whole roller coaster race 5K. Okay.
Yes.
We have got Dan Walsh on the line right now because the Superman ride is at Six Flags. Okay, you get to go in and you get to ride roller coasters all day long and some of the other rides and enjoy yourself. And there is a Superman ride which I've been on before. Bobby, you have not been on.
I haven't been on the one here in St. Louis. I was on the one in Louisville where there was an incident about 2 weeks later.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah,
and
probably damaged
the harness. Wait. What was the incident, Bobby?
Well, that's not really that.
I can't recall exactly what happened.
Was it somebody lost their feet?
I don't know.
Completely lost their feet?
I think the brakes stopped working or something like
Mark,
that.
Mark, go ahead and make fun of me for not wanting to ride a ride.
No. I'm not making fun of you at all. In fact, I've already told you multiple times off air, if you don't want to ride the ride, you don't have to. No one has a gun proverbially to your head.
I'm going
to
defend myself and explain this before they do. I will ride roller coasters. I'll jump. I will bungee jump. I will jump out of planes. I've done crazy stuff on the challenges that I've done. I do not like something that is a free fall where they just bring you up and drop you. It just is not entertaining to me, and I find it kind of like an irritating experience. So just like some people don't like going to Walmart.
So you're just
going to
walk around the park mad all day if
no,
you did
I'm
this?
No, I'm going to ride roller coasters and like the gajillion other things they have.
Dan, we can hold hands and do the Buccaneer.
I'm just not going to go to the one ride that has like severed someone's feet in the last 20 years.
Well, no. That was the one in Louisville, not St. Louis.
Oh, and they're completely different, right?
They are.
Yeah.
Well, like, I'm sure that they've gone out of their way to recreate like the problem that happened so that they could fix the new one so that that problem don't exist anymore.
Oh, yeah, no, that's awesome, because after the first time someone got hurt on something, no one else ever got injured after that on
rides,
right?
Yeah, man, the world's not perfect. The streak's broken. So get it. Got it? I mean,
yes.
You know
yeah.
what? No one's died
yes.
on all the other rides.
Yes.
Just had their feet cut off by that one. So yes. I don't do it.
Now, we'll Jesse, are you in for something like the Superman ride? Have you know what we're talking about? Have you seen it?
Well, yes. I mean, I've seen the ride, if you will, but in Dan's defense, it's not a roller coaster. So
that's true.
Why would we ride it?
That's true. That's a good point. Just for fun, man. My goodness. Hey, listen. Do something. Will you go on the log flume with me?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. We're in then. That's all.
There is. Bottom dollar.
But we got to get that cool picture where we're like, you know, me yes. throwing a beer backwards to you and you catching it.
I'll do that, dude. We did a picture one time where everybody had to smile and keep straight face when you're going down it, and then so they would take the picture and we all just had these like smiles and we were like all our heads were cocked in opposite directions. And it's hilarious, and
Bobby,
we bought it. And
it's your job to come up with something unique for us all to do as we okay. go down the log flume okay. for the picture, dude.
No, like, I'll ride 99% of the rides in that park. There's just some that I don't feel good about. Like, and it's not about I'm scared to do it because of the reaction. I just don't feel good about the ride.
It's
something
okay.
about it makes me go,
listen, man, this
I don't
is very
like that.
Typical of people who are in the Air Force. No big deal. You're fine, and everything's going to be just kosher and cool, dude.
Holy
cool
God.
And kosher.
You know what, man? One time someone said that to me, and they're like, "What does it ever like mess with you that you won't ride certain rides?" And I was like, "You know what? I think I was going to think about
you
it
know
one
what?
Time.
I'm not 12, so no."
No, and then I was like, "Oh, wait a minute." And then I start thinking about that war I fought in.
Oh, okay, that's
so
right, yeah.
So then I was like, yeah, I don't really feel so bad about not riding a ride that severed someone's feet.
Yeah, so,
The way I see it is that the Marine Corps has caught such a bad name for being stupid that I'm making a very smart decision on behalf of all of us.
Fair enough. I give you fist pounds on that one.
Go
right
to!
You know what? I'll give you credit on that one. All right, fair enough.
Go to rollercoasterrace.com. Check out more information. I don't even
know. We want you guys to be a part of Team Q. This is going to be cool. It's going to be me, Bobby, Dan Walsh, as well as a few other people that are going to come out there.
Absolutely.
If you go to the contest page at theqnow.com, sign up for your chance to win to be a part of this. I mean, it's an $80 value package. You get entry into the park for the day. You get to get a free T-shirt. You get to run the race. You get to hang out with everybody and kick it with your family and friends, whoever you invite to come out with you on that day. It doesn't cost you a single dime, plus free meal, free lunch.
Yeah. Not to mention you guys get another free show, because I'm sure at some point if you're quiet, you'll hear me and Mark off in the distance, him going, "Come on, Dan, just write it one time," and I'll be like, No,
Dan Walsh.
No. And then it'll end in a fist fight and we'll get kicked out. That's how we're gonna cap it all off.
Gosh darn it, Dan Walsh, why don't you get on the thing? Oh, we gotta get Rantrell out there.
You don't wanna say it, but I'm gonna say it. Superman
made me feel unhappy by myself. Oh my goodness.
Awesome. I pumped. It's 7 o'clock in the morning.
All right, well, I got something I want to talk about. I went to Comic-Con.
Yes!
Dude, first off, I want to say that I feel horrible that my other two partners here did not get to go to Comic-Con with me, because it was a great time. I had a blast.
But you did talk to someone for me.
I did talk to a certain individual for you.
Did you get a picture for me?
No, but listen, this is my Comic-Con story from this year. Now, I don't know how many of you out there care about this, but I'm going to tell the story anyway. Ralph Macchio, the guy who played the Karate Kid, I go up to his line. His line is non-existent. When I say non-existent,
what?
I mean
Are
there was
kidding me?
Nobody to see Daniel LaRusso.
No way.
Get out
Not
of here.
A single person.
Nobody to respect the Miyagi-Do.
I feel horrible. Listen. Over in this the back row, like they had three separate rows.
Right.
And it was these booths, and different people are in each one, and they have different times and stuff. Back row completely full. All the Doctor Who and Joss Whedon Firefly people and all that. Just lines. I mean, like 30, 40 deep. Chris Jericho's on that row. He's even back there signing on. And he's got like, seriously, hold on. Then you got the next row. That's where Lou Ferrigno was at. That's where William Shatner was at. You know, there's a few people, you know, that are kind of going in between. But then you got some of the side players, you know what I'm saying? The guys that, you know, were in movies. Once you're told who their character was, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember
hey,
that
was,
dude. Like,
was Sarah from the movie The Crow there? I know she does Comic-Cons.
I don't know.
Because after that movie, she didn't do anything else because when Brandon Crow or when Brandon Lee died, it, like, messed with her emotionally because she got to know him.
Oh, no.
And then when she died,
I know who you're talking about.
Stopped,
she wasn't there.
And then she started doing Comic-Cons here and there. I didn't know if she did that one, too.
She usually does San Diego and Louisville, though. Mm-hmm.
And then there was the pathetic row. And I'm not trying to describe that row as pathetic in, like, it was a great show. Like, the Wizard World Comic-Con here in St. Louis for 2014 was an amazing show. It was really well done. But then there was this row of just side players and people who were just too far past their prime when it comes to their careers and movies.
No, don't like tell me that's where he was.
That's where DMC from Rum DMC is. Okay,
get out of here, dude.
Jason David Frank.
No.
Jason David Frank. Boom, right next to him.
No. Jason, who's Jason
right next
David
to the,
Frank?
Stop it.
The Green Power Ranger.
The Green Power Ranger.
Oh yeah, see, I don't care. I didn't watch Power Rangers.
Then you had Daniel LaRusso. Then you had Ralph Macchio.
I would have spent the whole day in that. Just from Rum DMC and Daniel LaRusso.
Okay, I walked up and I talked to Daryl DMC,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
to his face, told him how big of an inspiration he was into my music career and things like that, and how it was just amazing to
meet
him.
Did he think you were a rapper?
No, he did not.
And then he immediately was like, "Oh my god,
no,
what did I do?"
But we found out that we had a couple friends in music that are not like typically well known individuals that we have in common.
That's cool. You guys can continue your conversations.
Yeah, exactly. Then I went over to Ralph Macchio, and poor Ralph Macchio. First off, he's one of these guys who's got to do the constant hand sanitizer. I don't know if he's a germaphobe, but I noticed that every single time after somebody shook his hand or talked to him or whatever, it was, you know, doing the whole thing. So I would assume that maybe that there is a little bit of that there.
Well, I believe in Karate Kid 3, it was the rules were if a man can't stand, he can't fight. A man can't see, can't fight. If a man has a bacterial infection and the flu, he can't fight.
Fair enough.
So in his respect, he was just trying to get ready for the All-Valley Conference tournament.
Yes, he was. So I walk up to Mr. Macchio, and I introduce myself. I tell him a little bit about us and the show and this, that, and the other. I have my little conversation about you, Dan, and how you have this dream of you and him in nice. Skull costumes and karate gis having a one-on-one. What was it again? It wasn't a rap. Was it a rap?
I wanted to just like cut a promo with
him. Yeah, cut a promo. That's what it
but
was.
But I wanted us to be dressed like that, and I just wanted to do like try to do a normal interview with him and then him try to answer me normal. But
right.
Meanwhile, we're dressed like that.
And he was really cool. Like, he was like really down to earth, a really nice guy. But you could tell, like, he's got some years on him. You could tell the wears in his face.
Well, I think he's almost in his 60s.
He's
got to be up in his... Well, yeah, he might be closer to that because you got to figure he was in his 18 when he did the movie in 84.
Maybe early 50s, dude.
Well, he would be the same age as Hogan. Or, well, maybe not Hogan, but maybe a few years younger than Hogan.
Okay, so Karate Kid was
probably early
87?
Probably early 50s. He's probably in his early
50s. I would say late 40s, early 50s.
Okay, look, fair enough. I would go with that. Anyway, I talked to him, and I literally pull him off to the side. I said, listen, can I tell you something, man? And I'm not trying to be rude at all. I'm like... I have absolutely no idea why your line isn't bigger. And he kind of shook his head, you know, and it wasn't in a rude way or anything like that. I was like, these people here don't understand how literally big of an impact pop culture-wise you and William Shatner are to the entire history of, like, entertainment. Like, right. It's not just, like, you literally were the 80s, man.
He was
when you think of the 80s, I think of Back to the Future and The Karate Kid. Those are the movies, and Goonies. Those three movies.
And not
boom,
to
boom,
mention,
boom.
He was in a multiple Academy Award winning movie with Joe Pesci with My Cousin Vinny. Like,
true.
He didn't just do, I mean, like, he got into other, I mean, there's other movies, I'm not saying that all of them were amazing. He was in The Outsiders, man.
Alan Baldwin.
Outsiders is a great movie.
You might not know who Alan Baldwin is. Alan Baldwin's one of the younger Baldwin brothers, okay?
Jesus, there's like 40 of them.
The dude was in Full Metal Jacket. No one there at the Comic-Con is rocking Full Metal Jacket on their experience list when it comes to their like career in movies. And he's in the movie. He's one of the gunners in the movie.
Is he okay? Because he's the one.
He's in the second half of the movie.
He's Animal Mother or whatever. That's what they call.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's also Tom Sizemore has a bit part in that movie. Whenever he's just mowing everybody down in the helicopter, and the guy goes, "How do you kill women and children?" And he goes, "Easy. I just don't lead them as much."
And like, I get it.
And it's just this clip, this short clip, and you're like, God, this guy is ate up.
I get it. You were in freaking Firefly, or you were in Dr. Horrible. You were in some Joss Whedon thing, and that's fantastic. And a lot of people love you, Doctor Who. Doctor Who? Okay, I'll give you a little credence there. That's a very popular, but not here in the United States.
I don't
that's
even
everywhere
know what
else
Doctor
in the
Who
world.
Is. Yeah.
Exactly. That's everywhere else in the world. when it comes right down to it, like, I want to meet Karate Kid.
Hell
I
want to
see Run DMC with Walk This Way, and I want to shake Will Shatner's hand.
Stop for a second.
And that's it. Like, that's...
Remember I told you earlier that I had a big announcement?
All right.
Next week, William Shatner will be live on the
show. Oh, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. William Shatner is going to be live on the queue. Every single week, we try to bring you the best entertainment in the entire country, and now we've got William Shatner.
Is he really?
Yes, sir.
I can't
wait. William Shatner has a new one-man show that will be debuting later in the month of April, and he will be live on the queue next week to promote his one-man show.
You're kidding me. This is amazing. This is a huge... Bobby hasn't told me or Dan or Jesse or anybody who was supposed to be on the show next week. I can't believe that. I am excited to meet Captain Kirk.
You're kidding me.
We're going to talk to Captain Kirk. Dan, you won't ride the Superman ride, but you'll talk to Captain Kirk?
Yes.
This is ridiculous. I don't even know if this is possible.
Captain's log, start date, what is that, April...
Next week.
Next week.
April 2014.
April 24th is when his one-man show debuts.
My goodness. Shatner.
It's in select cities. St. Louis is one of the cities that's been chosen, and William Shatner chose to be on the queue to promote it.
On that note right there, ladies and gentlemen, we got to take a quick break here on the queue. We will be back right after this.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. Call 1-800-975-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-800-975-MYTV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. 1-800-975-MYTV.
Now back to the queue with Mark Bland and Producer B.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue, of course. Joined today by Dan Walsh, Jesse Barbin, and Producer Bobby, as always. And we were talking a little bit about comment. You just knocked us over with a huge, huge... Ladies and gentlemen, I've been doing this on 1420 WINI and 1280 AM KYRO for years now.
Yep.
Years! And we have never had anyone... I mean, we've had Lou Ferrigno, huge star, but nowhere near the level of... I mean, that is pop culture icon in many people's books. My dad is just going to... He's going to crap up
why I produce your show.
That is why you produce the show.
He normally craps bricks, but while he's doing this one, he's going to be like, oh, William Shatner!
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to stand up here because I got to talk.
Are you going to rant?
Oh, we're going to... Well, I don't know if I'm going to rant necessarily, but we're going to discuss this. I got a letter from a listener, and this person wanted to talk a little politics, which is something I don't mind doing here and there, which is fine. Not a
Dan's
problem.
Dan's face is so awesome.
Dan loves it. Dan loves politics. No. Dan's fine. He's gonna jump in on this. He's going to have his own opinions. I can tell. I know how Dan works, okay? So check the U.S. Now, this person wrote this in a very serious manner. Mark, as the U.S. approaches the fifth anniversary of the end of the Great Recession, data from across the spectrum continues to show a weak economy, sir. Whether sales, earnings, or jobs, the data can be best described as mixed. If this recovery feels different than past turnouts, that's because it is. At this stage in the recovery under Reagan, for example, economic growth was double what it is now. If this recovery had matched the growth under Reagan, GDP would be almost $2 trillion higher than it is now. The Great Recession began in the end of 2007 and lasted for 18 months until June 2009. During the contraction, real GDP measured in $2009 shrank around 4%. In the 17 quarters since the end of the recession, the economy expanded from $14.3 trillion to $15.9 trillion, an increase of just over 10%. While the recession in Reagan's first term was shorter, lasting around 16 months, the contraction was almost as severe. Real GDP shrank around 3%. In the 17 quarters following the end of that recession, however, the economy grew by over 23%. Real GDP, again measured in $2009, expanded from $6.4 trillion to $7.9 trillion. Real GDP at the end of 2013 was 15.9. Grown at the same pace following the recession in the early 1980s, the overall size of the economy would be $17.7 trillion in real terms. An additional 1.0 economic output would solve a whole host of our present challenges. Keep in mind, too, that the current anemic recovery has occurred against the backdrop of the largest fiscal and monetary governmental stimulus in history. Mark, the Federal Reserve has injected trillions of dollars into the financial markets, yet the economy has grown by far less. Obviously, there are many variables that make an exact comparison between the Reagan and Obama recoveries difficult. History doesn't repeat itself, but it does often rhyme. The two presidents embarked on very different paths to correct the economy, and we are witnessing in real time which path is better.
My head hurts.
That literally means absolutely nothing in hogwash to a guy like me who literally understands the theories that you're trying to play with. Moron. Okay? $1980 versus $2014. Okay? $1980 versus $2007. We have a higher rate of inflation. We have a higher rate of everything across the board every single day of the week now. Literally. Do you realize what $5 would have got you back in 1980? $5 would have bought you literally movie tickets.
The whole value meal.
Whole value meal. You could have gone to White Castle, put a buck or two in your tank, a buck of gas. A buck of gas, that's literally all the way to the theater and back. That's a round trip for $1.
Yeah.
You're good. Value meal, maybe, you know, some burgers, some drinks, $2.50.
A Big Mac was probably $2.75.
I mean, we are talking literally you could take dates on $5 to $10 total. Whole night. I mean, you literally could have bought a 6-pack of beer for $3. Got your car, $4 or $5 of gas, which would have ended up lasting you like 4 or 5 days.
Right.
Literally, back then, another $3 or $4. We're talking $12 total. And that's an entire night. Do you know what it costs just to go to a Cardinals game right now? Jesse, have you been to a Cardinals game recently? You have a family. You got kids. You got a wife.
I do.
Well, you throw birthday parties, right?
I do. They're more than $5.
They're more than $5. How much would you say just a typical 5-year-old's birthday party? Oh, you got twins. How much did it cost to just throw the birthday party for the twins? Seriously.
With everything, yeah, probably around $300 to $400.
Exactly. A birthday party costs $300. I spent $250 alone on my son Reed and my daughter Reagan's birthdays combined at Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese.
$250.
There's your culprit.
A Cardinals game. I just looked at tickets. A Cardinals game for the cheap seats, which used to be back in the 80s, like 75 cents.
Yeah.
$45 now.
Yeah, but also in Old Bush, those cheap seats were like 1,500 feet up in the air.
but here's my
like
point.
Like, you can touch the bottom of planes.
But, gentlemen, this is my point. This is
smoke up there.
This is a very different time period in history. We're dealing with much higher values of things across the board. It started where he ends up, you know, working and doing his thing. The things that he sells now, or Bobby, the things that they sell now comparison to 5 years ago or 4 years ago or whatever, they've gone up $10.
Well, not only that, though.
Easily.
People don't look at the fact that, okay, back in 1980, minimum wage was probably $1.50, $2. Now, some states, hell, the state of Connecticut, it's $10.10.
Oh, by the way, thank you also for your revisionist history on the 2007 recession. Hey, buddy, everyone knows that the banks failed, the market crashed, and gas went to $4 in 2008.
All right,
that's when it started.
This is where I get pissed.
Okay.
Anybody who says the word Great Recession, great anything in links to depression, should be punched in the face. Because the Great Depression that happened, people couldn't even eat plants. You know why?
Literally.
Because there was no plants.
Literally.
That was a hard time. Yes, things weren't great for many years.
Right.
But you know what? We were all okay. You know?
But you also know what else
was? Sacrifice.
We also had decent money value at that time. Once things started recovering, it didn't cost $5 for a gallon of gasoline or fuel or lantern oil or whatever.
We
you know
didn't
what I'm
have
saying?
Hoovervilles at any point in the 2000s or late 90s. So I'm not saying it was a great time. It's not a wonderful time, but don't even compare the two. Plus, in the Reagan administration, I'm pretty sure that the percentages on interest for houses were at the highest I don't think that they've ever reached as far as percentage dollar
they were
made.
From the late 70s into the 80s.
I mean, that's a time that the thing. And here's another thing. He's one of these guys that obviously recycles the terms that like make people think that you're smart. And then he copies, he definitely
has talking points.
Necessarily linked together, but then spits numbers out in emotion to make you think that he's making a point. And he's not. That is the number one.
You know what my favorite part is?
He's got a BS. Stats can be manipulated in any way, however you want to present them to back your point up. And that's all that guy tried to do. He didn't make any sense. It was just a long rant that meant nothing. Congratulations for wasting your own time and for irritating me for using such a stupid term as great stab you, and I don't even know you.
Wow. Will you ride the Superman right now? Are you that angry?
Dude, I would kick the Superman guy who does it.
Just to
I
not have to do that again?
No, just I'd be like, I'm like, dude, bring me up in it.
Here's the other thing that I have a problem with, guys. Listen, you don't have it all figured out. Because if life was as easy as the, hey, you know, you threw a bunch of stats at me, and that's great, man. I appreciate it. I respect that you tried to go out there and do some research and this, that, and the other. If you got the plan that fixes everything, because evidently you do, that's why you wrote your little article, because everybody else is wrong. Your article's right. So this is what we need to be focusing on, and this is how it fixes everything. Well, get to working, homie.
Yeah.
Get to working.
Well, here's another thing. You and I both know, I guess this is a way to try and trash the Obama administration.
Sure.
Right. If you've listened to the show and you guys know, I'm the first one that I'm not always a fan of Obama. So if anything, if there was something that was written that was making a point, I'm going to tell you, as someone who's probably the closest in the studio to being your fan, that was stupid. Like, next time, please have a much better approach than, hey, look how many vocabulary key points I can hit to make you know that I watch CNN and morning political shows on
stage. I love how you also call it the fifth anniversary, keeping track of each
like
year.
Like, everyone, like, I know. The
what are we at, the 90th anniversary of the Great Depression? That's awesome.
You know what?
I
drove a car, and I lived in an apartment 5 years ago. You know what I do now, guys? I drive a car. Do I have to pay more for gas? Do I have to pay more for pizza? Yeah, but am I okay? I'm okay. And I'm not a Fortune 500 member by any means. So let's calm down on the Great Recession crap. Stop trying to scare everybody and just realize it was a crappy time. Oh, God.
And you bring up a good point, though. And I think this specific listener is a small part of an extremely large group.
Of course.
Which are the individuals. No, and not in a very basic term. It's the individuals who just find something to complain about, as opposed to focusing on the improvements that are being made, whether they are minuscule or they are massive. They just tend to focus on what was better in the past, regardless.
I hate people that have no solutions. I don't mind if you have a complaint. I don't have a problem with complaints. Complaints are great. Constructive criticism is great. I don't have a problem with any of those things. But if you're going to say the same thing over and over and over, have some solutions. Work on the other side of that. Listen, you know what it is? I was talking to my wife earlier about this today, specifically.
Uh-huh.
And I know this is good. Ladies, Dan Walsh, you're going to have to protect these ladies. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to make them feel good. You have to rub their backs and let them know how lovely the animal can be. Crest their hair.
Depends on what they're wearing.
They got to have on high heels.
Yeah,
they got to have on red lipstick.
With red lipstick and a tube skirt.
That's right. True. That's all they're needing. And blouses.
Lace blouses.
That's all I'm saying.
Keep up with it, Bobby. You produce this thing.
I was talking to my wife, and I'm like, you know what the problem between men and women is? I said, because we were kind of in a little bit of an argument, and I love my wife to death, but I said, all women do, the reason why they're so associated with drama is because all you guys want to do is focus on the problem. All you ever want to do is focus on the problem. Who did it? Why they did it? What's going on? How we're going to make it worse? Just the obstacles. That's all you want to focus on. None of you girls ever act like a guy, because all a guy wants is to be left alone. So literally, this is the old adage of you give the laziest man the hardest job in the factory, and he's going to find the easiest way to do it. You literally give me, who doesn't want to be bothered, the most bothersome situation, and I'm going to find the way to cut that thing in half as fast as possible so I can get back to being lazy again. Okay? All I want to do is find solutions. That's it.
I can tell you why, because I've said this on the show before. In the last 100 years, women have had to change their role in society like 6 times. They've had to, like, you don't talk, you don't be seen, not heard. You can't drive. Okay, now you can drive. You can vote. You're supposed to work. And you're supposed to work a lot. You're supposed to be opinionated. You're supposed to be in politics. So, like, they are thinking of 400 things because they always have to constantly adapt, improvise, and overcome. To where, guys, we have had the same role since people started on this planet. We're just guys. We go hunt. We go gather. We go work.
Hey, let me ask
you
a question.
That's what we do.
But
and that's
see,
why
we do that all
based off of what you just said. Let me ask you a question. So when you go hunting.
Yes.
Hey, Dan, you've been hunting before, maybe?
Yes, I have.
Okay,
I have.
So you go hunting.
I am a real
Jesse,
man.
You've been hunting before, maybe?
I have.
Okay,
I have.
You go hunting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's an end goal, right? There's an end goal. The end goal is to do what? To get what?
You get meat.
You want to get a kill.
Or hammered.
You want
Depends
get,
on who you go hunting
both.
With.
Both. Potentially. Very good, very good.
And not shoot each
the
other.
The end goal is to get that thing dead. So you can take it with you. That's your prize.
And present it to the woman.
Now, if you sat there for 8.5 hours with the turkey just staring at you going, well, you're just standing there, man. You're not walking around enough for me. I need you to do this. Hey, you need to look at me a couple of times before I pick this gun.
I don't like these turkey's feathers. It's horrible foliage. I can't even see them in the plants.
As a guy, your job as a hunter is literally get to the end goal as fast as possible. That's it. Solution. What's my solution? Pick the gun up and shoot it. Done.
Yeah.
3 seconds. We're done. We're out. We don't have to discuss it. We don't have to play with it.
I would eat it alive.
Watch.
I'm just saying.
Well, that's weird.
I no, think it, man. Some cultures, I think,
are you going to get a turkey leg when we go to Six Flags?
I wanted to. Oh, yes, you know what I wanted to do? Legs. And maybe, hey, dude, maybe.
Listen to the. Jesus, Bobby.
Sorry.
Bobby, oh, keep in your pants.
Microphone.
It's going to take you 3 days to eat it anyway.
I'm putting this out there for Thanksgiving. Can we get a turkey and then we make a pin around and I'm going to dress up like a pilgrim?
Okay.
And then I'm going to fight the turkey. But we got to make sure that its talons are like. Not going to destroy me. But dude, we'll have promos. Talents. Like, I'll talk trash on the turkey, and then we'll have the turkey being like, burr, burr, and we'll put subtitles on him, and then we'll have a referee and everything. And then they undo, but the minute that thing starts to tear me up, let me out of the pen because I don't want to get killed by a turkey.
Turkey especially tearing up the Walsh. Turkey tearing
he's
up.
He's dressed like a penguin.
This is his B plan for when he couldn't get the Karate Kid to do this.
Yeah, right. Now, exactly. Now
he just wants to cut a animals. Damn promo.
PETA, you can make this happen. Okay, get me Ralph Macchio, and I won't have to fight a turkey.
We're not even going
to
hurt the turkey, though, really. Because as soon as it attacks you, you're going to...
I think... Well, do they have a human...
a human
foundation
turkey?
For, like, animals that hurt humans? Because we may have to contact that when that turkey, like, gouges my
the
eyeballs
The HSPCA?
Out. Yeah.
The Human Animal...
The Protect... Wait. The Danimal Association? Like...
The Danimal Association. We should start the Danimal Association.
And then Sarah McLachlan could sing her heroin song about me when I'm all stretched up.
Oh, it's the like, angel song?
Arms of the angel dance missing his eye because of the turkey.
Take a look at this one-armed dog.
Yeah, I get it.
Who's got slobber? It's not even a scar, but it's real sad.
All right.
I'm sorry. That was my Sarah
McLachlan. You're fine. I just...
Where
the
hell did this just go?
I just brought that up specifically for the fact that I want people to understand that, yes, life isn't easy. It's not perfect. Sometimes the Undertaker loses his streak.
Stop it. Sometimes, you just gotta rub that in, don't you?
Sometimes.
What
sometimes.
An imperfect world.
Sometimes people that you don't want to go away from our earthly chains leave at the least expected time. Okay?
Yep.
That's the way this world works, okay? It's not, I could leave here tonight, no matter how cool your, as cool as your statistics are. Oh, I read them. They were really cool. I could die. And then it won't matter to me or anyone else. Because literally everybody else will be just like, dude, I was just hanging out with him and he was talking about statistics and stupid stuff. And now he's gone, man. Like, this is kind of crazy and stuff. And no one's going to be talking about your statistics, man. And you know what? Just going to keep getting more expensive.
I'm going to bury you with that if you die unexpectedly. And I'm going to put a sign that says, don't be this guy, with an arrow pointing to that paper on your chest.
Well, I'm going to call that guy and make him show up.
He's right. Going to do your googly.
This one's got to fall into the category of Dan Walsh superstars. Okay, you ready?
All right.
Sweet.
Now, Dan, I don't even know who that is, but I'm excited.
Dan, what I call Dan Walsh superstars are the guys that Dan met when he was really drunk, doing Real World and Road Rules and all that stuff. The guys that he just wanted to punch in the face. Okay. We call these Dan Walsh superstars. You meet them everywhere. Okay.
Nice.
And I got to hear everybody's opinion on this because. The Norwegian, okay, first off, a little heads up story here. A couple of weeks ago, a Norwegian teenager got a tattoo. Are you ready for this? Of his McDonald's receipt on his arm.
Oh, yeah. It was a bet. It was a bet.
A McDonald's receipt.
Yeah.
Chicken nuggets, Big Mac, French fries.
Everything the prices, right there. Totals, everything.
Thank you for coming today. All of it.
Manager's
the entire
name.
Receipt.
That's not where it stops. On it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. The Norwegian teenager who got a McDonald's receipt tattooed on his arm as a bet now has a tattoo on his other arm as well of the receipt from the first tattoo. This Jesus. Moron literally went back, took the receipt from getting the original tattoo, and then tattooed that on the other arm. Yes.
This kid's got receipt tattoos all
Stian
over.
Stian Yatterdal, 18, of asked Save
Read
Lynch.
The name again, please, just one time.
Stian Yatterdal.
Probably not said right.
This dude sounds like someone who would get receipts tattooed on him.
It's probably Stian Yatterdal. Probably Yatterdal or Yatterdal. So okay. 18.
John.
Asked. Yes. No, it says STIA.
Hey, is it that your road manager?
Would you stop it? Stop it. Okay. Stian Yatterdal, 18, asked Sable Ink Tattoo to ink his McD's receipt last month. They said it was the strangest work they'd ever done. That's why they offered to tat it up on their own bill for free. Obviously, he took them up on it. Now, if Yatterdal ever finds himself in memento situation, at least he'll know where he ate lunch on a random Monday in March and who keeps giving him all these darn tattoos.
Well, see, here's the thing.
Why would you do that?
If he needs to return a product. Tattoos?
Yeah, I got a tattoo.
Okay, what is it on your arm, mm-hmm. upper shoulder? What do you got there?
Right there.
Little tribalish?
I got the D-bag tribal.
Why did you do that?
This was a symbol that a friend of mine, when I was stationed in 29 Palms, he drew for me.
Okay, cool.
And he was like doing like a symbolism class when he was in college or something, and like drew these, and these all mean something,
right?
About my personality at that time. So I thought it was pretty cool, and he drew it on a piece of paper, and I was like, I'm gonna get that tattooed on me because it's actually something about me. And
you got a shirt that says Skip Barber on it. You gonna get that Skip Barber logo tattooed on you?
I went to the Skip Barber Racing School, dude. Yeah, this is a world famous racing school.
Would you get that logo tattooed on your body?
Since I set the farthest crash at that track in 2007, I probably should.
You set the furthest crash.
What is going on here, man? Laguna Seca Speedway, which is a pretty famous speedway. We were racing like small Indy cars, and there's a last turn, it's about 90 degrees, and for some reason, all the driving instructors, after like a day evaluation of me, felt that I was a very good driver, so they put me like towards the front of the pack behind one guy, and I was trying to catch up to him to beat him, and I got a little ambitious, and when I went around the last turn at 90 degrees, like I just spun out, and it's all like gravel, like a playground on the outside of the track. Well, I somehow skimmed in and got right there on the wall. So when they pulled me out of the whole thing, and I got the fire suit and everything off, they were joking around. They're like, I think you just set the record. And I was like, what? And I'm like, quit messing with me. But then I looked, and this dude had like a yardstick, and they were walking out measuring it. And I was like, are you serious? And he goes, yeah, but professionals race here, so this isn't really something to be proud of, because they don't normally do this.
Yeah, we don't normally want people to die.
So it's not really a great thing, but it was a really cool experience. If you guys ever have money and you go to Mazda Laguna Seca Speedway and do the Skip Barber School, I learned how to drift. I learned how to drift on dry surface, wet surface, precision course racing, all kinds of stuff. It was really fun.
But let's be honest. The only reason anyone watches it and or participates is because we would like to witness a crash.
That's true.
So congratulations. True. Two birds with one stone.
Yeah, you are the man when it comes to that. Now, you have tattoos, Jesse.
I do have tattoos.
Well, let me see that one. You got a couple of them.
And on that note, though, you read something that stuck out to me more than the receipt tattooed on the gentleman's arm.
Sure.
It was that this is the weirdest thing that a tattoo shop had tattooed on somebody.
Probably because most people come in looking for specific art to be put on them that is not like...
But you have to think. I mean, we've seen some crazy tattoos. You see skulls or people getting stabbed.
Now, what's that one on your arm right there? What is that? Is that a koi fish?
This is a koi fish with a sea of turmoil.
If you mix that with his... What do you call that? You called it the D-bag what?
No, this is the tribal Dan. The Celtic tribal of
Dan. The tribal. And then you got the big lion there, and you mix it with the koi fish over here. You guys are tatted up.
Somewhere,
you know what I'm saying? You guys are tatted up pretty hardcore.
You put these all together.
I've got two more. One.
We have a Irish bear that is going after a koi that is in turmoil.
It's not a bear. It's a lion.
It's a lion.
A lion.
But see, it's an Irish bear.
Stop
Bobby.
It.
Yeah. Because
would you get my name tattooed on your belly button?
On my belly button? That's kind of weird.
You don't want to do that to your name.
Just right here.
Just right across the top.
Mark Bland. Right there across. And then the Q underneath.
Like a Tupac got tattoo. Straight edge.
Almost kind of like an Amoco sign. You know how it's rounded? Like boom there. And
almost
then
like
there.
A championship belt that you put like over your stomach.
Who gets championship belts?
No, would never do that.
It's symbolic. I'm not saying anyone would ever really do that. I'm just saying like,
yeah, because it'd be weird.
That'd be really weird. I think that person needs to be checked on.
Especially if they like got all the blueprints.
Starbucks a lot.
Especially if they got like the blueprints to get it done.
Yeah. And they're probably vegan and have big beards. I'm just saying.
Fair enough.
Here's the real question is...
I have no tattoos because I respect my temple.
Go ahead. Never mind.
We can tell you're really taking care of it, Mark.
What's that?
You're really taking care of it, buddy.
Well, you have to expand the temple every once in a while. You know, you got to build on to the temple. No city just stays the same size. You always want to add on like a little bit more to the city.
I stand corrected. I'm sorry.
Let's be honest. Do you always want to live in the place you live, or would you like to have a house eventually? You want to expand a little, right?
Mark's got a temple. Bobby's got a metropolis.
Yeah, baby. Bobby's got a full-range city going on here and stuff like that.
Bobby's got five boroughs.
Why the koi fish in the way that it's done there on your arm?
It actually originated, so one of my favorite bands, Incubus, Brandon Boyd, the lead singer, has something kind of similar. It kind of sparked my interest, so I actually drew all my own tattoos. I've got a couple, but they each symbolize something different. So there's Tibetan scripture right here, which pretty much stands for you are who you are, like don't try to change it kind of deal. Then there's the sea of turmoil, if you will, which represents what everyone
blood
has.
Red sea of turmoil.
Well, that was the decision of the tattoo artist. He decided to
McPike
take
McPike Mansion haunted house. Yeah,
yeah, I want red because McPike and stuff.
Yeah,
and then
the
koi fish to symbolize, you know, just being a calmness inside of your body, you know. So there's a whole bunch right here on my arm.
Well, what do you got on the other arm there?
This is unfinished, so this is going to be something for my children. I just started. It's
lotus flower.
It's got a lotus flower, and it's got the same. Funny story. So, same tattoo artist. same tattoo artist did everything. And then he, when he finished up this half sleeve, he bounced. He straight up left for California and just left me high and dry. Absolutely.
Stop it, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. That is ridiculous.
Left me high and dry.
He didn't.
Nuh-uh.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break here on the Q. Make sure you check out. You are listening to us on 1420 WINI, 1280 AM KYRO, and worldwide on the internet at theq9.com. We will be back on the show after this.
Log on for more at theqnow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Q. Of course, Mark Bland joined today.
Sorry, my bad.
What happened? What's going on there? Are you Rob Thomas all of a sudden? Did you become Rob Thomas? Worried about things
like that. There's a little Rob Thomas in everybody.
Oh, I love 3 a.m.
And in some ladies, there's a lot of Rob Thomas.
Matchbox 20, yeah. Matchbox 20 had a lot of good hits. A lot of people don't realize how good those guys were. And if you listen to their greatest hits, I mean, literally every song on there was in the top 10.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous how well these guys did when it came to the financial aspects of the music industry as well as popularity.
Well, I saw them at Point Fest 7. That was when they, I remember when they did Push. That was the first time I saw them right before they hit it big. And you know what other band I saw before they hit it big? And they're opening up for Stone Temple Pilots?
Could not tell you.
Coldplay.
Really?
Not kidding.
Oh, I think that would have been really cool. I'd like to go see Coldplay live. You know,
I thought it was Radiohead.
We just had Billy we just had Billy Joel live in concert this past Friday here in town. So I would have liked to go on and seen Billy Joel. I think Billy Joel is
kind of
cool.
I'm a big Billy Joel fan. So
you're
yes,
just a big Billy Joel fan?
Yes, huge. I tried to play the piano because I like Billy Joel so much.
Really?
Yes, but I was not a
Are
quote unquote.
Are you any good
piano
at the
man.
Piano?
I can play Sleeping John, which is really just another version of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, or Mary Had a Little Lamb. And so,
okay, now I got a question for
you. I can also play this theme to Mortal Kombat.
Do you have any hobbies outside of professional wrestling and work? I mean, you go to school, you go to work, you professionally wrestle on the side. Mm-hmm. But do you have any hobbies, like personal hobbies, things that like
cats.
Either from like teenage years or high school or like even in your early 20s that you kind of grabbed onto, things that you like, and then you kind of always go after those things, look for them, and
this comedy count too?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you could say comedy.
Writing and performing comedy as well as I write.
You're actually a comedian?
Yeah.
You do this in front of people?
People have paid me to do this.
And you actually write stuff.
I've opened up for such blockbuster hits as Pauly Shore.
When will
Colin Moulton?
Biodome.
When will you bring this to the queue? Like, I'm wondering when you'll be funny finally. When will this start?
You ready?
I'm ready.
The minute you start recording is when it comes to the show.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
You say Polar Vortex, here come the funny.
Here come the funny.
I hope everybody's got their funny jackets on so they don't drown in the funny.
I asked Vladimir Putin about you, Dan Walsh.
Old Valerie?
Yeah.
Old
Valerie? I asked Valerie Putin about you, and I said, did you know, Vladimir, that Dan Walsh does comedy? And I recorded it. Check this out.
The Dan Walsh, he's the one who always talks about my nipples whenever I'm wrestling. Bear or tiger or such like animal that is so fierce but so beautiful at the same time. Much like Dan Walsh's comedy, the way he talk about the fat girl and the way she likes the donut and how you bring her into bedroom with the frosting to spread on your body.
And there it is, Vladimir Putin, when I asked him about Dan Walsh's comedy. So
he's pretty generous about
you. He's very nice guy.
Pretty intense guy.
Very intense.
Did you guys heard about him whenever he was substituting at a Russian school recently? Right.
I did not hear about this.
Do we have a clip?
We have a clip. He's teaching a math class to some grade schoolers in Russia.
Bobby, get that. You ready? Okay, go.
Okay, we have Sergey the pumpkin farmer, and Sergey has 8 pumpkins. And then here comes Constantine, and he takes 4 pumpkins away. How many pumpkins does Sergey have now? It doesn't matter, because we had to cut off that dirty thief's hands, because he's no good for Mother Russia.
And that's the clip. That's a good clip.
Wow, that was crazy, dude.
That's a pretty intense class.
That's some intense stuff.
I think that's second graders.
Those that blew Bobby's graders? Mind. You should, did you
those
see with the
second
fingers?
Graders?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
I was trying to do the math.
You were just, yeah, but you didn't even know the swerve.
Well, speaking of comedy, ladies and gentlemen, we had a situation with Fox News.
Fox and Friends, baby.
Fox and Friends, you've got to hear this. Bobby, tell me when you're ready there, buddy.
Go.
All right. The UConn Huskies are the 2014 NAACP national champs.
The 2014 NAACP national champions. These people at Fox Network, and listen, we understand that we're on Fox affiliates, but the people at Fox directly in New York City are so just completely lost when it comes to politics on everything that they turn even the NCAA basketball championship, which is the NCAA.
See, I think that was more of a Freudian slip than
anything.
No,
no, no. See, what's
I
so...
think it was actually semi-accurate.
I think they...
slip.
We all know how they feel about college sports now.
Right. What's so awesome, though, is on SNL on Saturday, previously, I think this is what caused it, is Bobby Moynihan, his character... did the same thing. He screwed up and called the NCAA the NAACP.
Really?
So yeah. Maybe she's just a big fan.
All right, let's take a listen to this.
I like Bobby Moore.
Well, President Obama did his best to make us all sign up for Obamacare.
And wow, it wasn't easy.
It's tough to sign up for things. I've tried for years to join the NAACP.
Fine, why would you do that?
I just love college basketball.
that's great. Like, that's awesome. But I don't think she, like, okay, it's very possible maybe she caught that clip before she went on the air or
maybe
something like that.
It doesn't really justify it, though. Yeah. Come on.
It doesn't justify it at all. I mean, there's nothing good about Fox News at all that justifies any of that.
I like Red Eye.
That's rough.
Red Eye is not bad.
Red Eye makes me laugh.
Red Eye's not bad.
Because they kind of poke fun at themselves whenever they do that. And it's I think it's pretty funny. Plus, I do like the batter between Dennis Miller and O'Reilly. How Miller just busts Riley's balls all the time. But he does it like such a laughing, and like sometimes Bill O'Reilly is such an egotistical man that he's not even catching that Miller's just like totally messing with him.
I have a problem with Bill O'Reilly, not because of what Bill O'Reilly states or what he stands for or his ideals. I have a problem with him because he constantly picks fights with guys like Jon Stewart, Bill Maurer, Miller, all of these guys. And he constantly gets it handed to him verbally on a national stage, and they keep giving him juicy contracts over and over and over.
For that exact reason, though.
But yeah. Possibly because it's entertaining to people, but like, I think the point of his show is to be legitimately informing and trying to sway people's opinions.
Right.
Like, not to be the butt of the joke, and he goes up against these guys that are just so much more well-versed in the things that he wants to discuss that he just can't keep up with them. And it just makes him come off looking like he's got egg on his face every single time.
Yeah, but then he gets brought into the conversation.
I don't know about what we've talked about this before. Like, every time I see anything on Bill Maher, he has to swallow his words. It's like, now I'll say that.
Bill Maher?
Stewart is always funny about it, and he gets his point across. And like I said, all the other guys do, but it's like Maher's the only dude I know that was almost criminally charged for what he said being inaccurate. And Tim Robbins. So it's like, I don't see it so much on that part. I'm not a big fan of Bill Maher anyway.
Have you ever watched his documentary, Religious?
Yeah, it was that whole like, hey, here's a cool point and we could have made a great movie, but then here's me one-siding people the whole time too and kind of ruining the objective part of it. I think
the whole point of the movie was like, he has this opinion of atheism to an extent. And he's not trying to say religion is stupid or it's not something of any value whatsoever. I think the whole point of the documentary was to say, hey, listen, let's literally take the argument to some of these guys. Let's sit down with them. Let's hear their opinion on it. Let's throw our opinion of these things, even though it's coming off in kind of a funny way because of the way I speak and how I present it. And let's see how they react to that, because my points and my opinions are true. And they have value, at least in my minds and the minds of people who believe the same as I do. And those people have points, too. You know, like when he goes to the trucker church. You know what I'm saying?
But that's my point, man. Like, you and I both know how that's going to end. You know what I mean? And you and I have both said that there's people out there who are creationists that are very intelligent and can have a great debate. And he wasn't going to them. He went and found truckers that talk on a radio as their source of entertainment. These guys, I don't know how many truckers have actually been professors at any Ivy League schools or not, but, like, you know what you're going to get with that. It's kind of like the whole Michael Moore thing. Michael Moore has like a couple good documentaries, but then the rest of it, it's like, let's put certain people in a certain situation so that I can overwhelm them and look good and get my point across, which is he's pandering to the people that are going to purchase
his
product.
Is he, though? He's going after some big heavy hitters. In some of those cases, he's not just sitting down with just a Joe Schlub who works 40 hours a week and isn't paying attention to anything. Some of those people, he's sitting there like when he walks up on the actual senator as he's walking down the steps and he wants to have a discussion with him, and the senator throws him under the bus and basically says he doesn't care. And it was over the whole situation where his kids didn't have to go off to Iraq or be in the war because he went out of his way to get an exemption for his children. And this, that, and the
other.
Were
they in the military, though?
I'm not sure. Or wait. It was...
Because nobody not in the military had to go to Iraq.
It wasn't a draft thing. No. It wasn't a draft thing. It was the fact that he had gone... No.
Like, I'm pretty sure I signed up for that.
Let me rephrase that. It was the fact that his kids... He had such staunch views and hardcore views for pro-military, this, that, and the other over here. None of his, like, four or five kids, none of them actually went into the military whatsoever. Yeah. Like, none of them followed in those footsteps. And he was trying to figure out, like, why are you so hardcore over here and none of your family wants to follow along suit?
Well, he didn't want to make him do it. You know what I mean?
Of course.
We may love basketball. None of our kids might like basketball. We're not going to force them to play basketball.
No, I'm
whatever.
Still going to love yourself, it. I'm going damn to. It.
All right, guys.
They're going to play
before
basketball.
Before we do game on, game off, I want to talk a little bit about this situation. A man who discovered a photograph of his 85-year-old mother stuffing bills in the waistband of a young male stripper is now suing the nursing home, claiming his mother was defiled during the dance.
And this isn't the first time it happened.
Check it out. Franklin Youngblood discovered the picture while visiting his mother, Bernice, at a nursing center in Long Island, New York. When he confronted a nurse about the image, the nurse apparently tried to snatch it out of his hands. A nurse later told another of the victim's sons that the strip show was an entertainment event for the patients and was done in good faith, according to the suit. Hiring male strippers to perform for the defendant's nursing home patients was a serial occurrence, the suit claims. Bernice Youngblood has lived 85 years as a traditional Baptist, hardworking lady, and now she has been defiled, according to her attorney, John Ray. The family is now suing East Neck Nursing Center, accusing the employees of hiring strippers for the perverse pleasure and enjoyment of the defendant's staff. A lawyer for the nursing home told NBC that residents of the home had initially requested the strippers, prompting a 16-member activities committee to approve the expenditure.
Yep.
Is this one of those situations where we just got a butthurt individual?
Yeah,
is that what we're looking at here?
I'm gonna tell you right now.
Money hungry.
This is from 100% experience. Earlier this week, I volunteered at an old folks home.
Okay.
Did you volunteer?
Yeah, and I rode that lap so hard.
You volunteered in your spandex?
I volunteered.
That's why they call them the Danimal.
And one of the things is, I will say, I'm not going to say what the facility is because it's just a part of the agreement.
But that's fine.
They were really good people, and I'm going to say this, and they catch a bad because there is so many cases, and these people were very, very good people, and they're very attentive, and they were very big on reiterating to us that you don't neglect these people, you always talk to them, because there's a lot of staff, but there's a lot of people, and there's not a lot of one-on-one time, and if you go to these places and you're in like a facility, it can be very depressing.
Yes, it can.
So sometimes just interaction.
The worst last 5 years of my grandmother's life, I sat there and watched her. Especially, like, the second and third year. Like, the last 2 years of her life, she had become pretty invalid. It wasn't a chance that she was going to get out of there. My mom and dad put my grandmother into the nursing home specifically for the fact that they couldn't handle her anymore.
Yeah.
But she was still able to rudimentarily get around and do things on her own. It wasn't until a few years in the nursing home she became much worse as far as, like, the leg deterioration of what was going on with her leg.
But she couldn't, like, I
felt so horrible. I'm 12 years old. I'm going with my mom to see my grandma, and she's having serious conversations with my mom, like, get me out of here. I don't want to be here. They scream all night, and it just, I can't go to sleep. In high school,
I was a receptionist for a nursing home, just because, I mean, it was a job. I got paid to do my homework, basically, but there was one person, one man, who was a colonel in the Army during World War II, who was the coolest person in the whole thing. Every Saturday when I would come to work, he'd grab a banana and oatmeal, and he'd come down, and we'd sit down, and he'd tell me war stories and stuff. That was the only enjoyment I ever saw that man have, was when he and I sat down and interacted.
Well, like, back to what I was saying is, like, this place was actually a lot better, and they started to cordon off people. And I actually worked with a couple of people that had dementia. And
Fair enough. It was
pretty sad because there's not really much you can do in those people's defenses. And, like, in this place's, like, their rules, which I thought was really cool, is they said, number one rule, you do not pull your cell phones out. You at no point are paying attention to anything other than everyone around you. If you are, if we expect that if someone is sitting there and say someone got them food and maybe they didn't realize the person can't feed themselves, you are to go get someone to do it. Like, you never let them be neglected. So, but there's just not enough to go around for everybody to just get that interaction. On the other note, some of the girl, the ladies in there are, they've lived their life.
Right,
okay?
But they still they still have a brain.
Yeah,
like, they're still there.
They like to look at, and they're to that point now where, like, that whole, you know, like, you got to be classy. You can't say something. They're to the point now where, like, you know what, man, I'm
old. I only got a few years left. I don't care.
Right, yeah. I want to see it. So, like, and they were, no one ever did that to me, like, hey, take your clothes off. But they were all, they were very sweet. And everybody
that you'll
was,
tell us about.
So my whole thing is, like, me in that situation, I know if they'd have brought some strippers in there, these ladies would have had a great time with it. So, like, and nobody got, like forcibly, like, assaulted.
Well,
so
part of the problem,
I think
though,
the guy's just, that guy needs to spend more time there then, so that stuff like that don't happen. But I bet you he won't do that because that means he has to go and sit with his parents.
And this has been a reoccurring thing, though. This gentleman now just came across the picture and he's complaining about it. Obviously, it hasn't been a big deal. He's trying to make a big deal out of something that everyone else has enjoyed. No one has brought it to anyone else's attention. What, 15, 16 elderly women who've never brought a complaint to their family members? And now this individual just takes it upon himself to file a lawsuit against this nursing home. It's sad.
He didn't defile her. He made her happy.
He made her very, very happy. Big smiles on her face.
She deserves it. She's put up with a lot of crap in her life. It's time for her to stuff some
dollar bills. General consensus, if we get tossed in a nursing home by our you know, our children or our significant others when we're older, would you not like to have a stripper at some point?
Sure.
Or some form of entertainment?
I would make it rain.
No, I'm a godly person, and I don't fondle the body in that manner.
Yeah, but I bet you'll eat a turkey leg, won't you?
Yeah.
I bet you those strippers came in
with some KFC, you'd be all down with
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to start game on, game off. We might have to finish this in overtime, but I'm going to start game on, game off this week myself.
All righty.
So, my game on this week is actually, and by the way, for everybody out there, game on, cool hip things we need you to know about, game off, stuff that you probably need to stop doing.
Everything Bobby says.
Stop going to Starbucks and spending lots of money. Coffee's coffee. Okay. Game on, a movie, the last movie Paul Walker ever starred in called Brick Mansions. It is based off of an old movie that I saw about 5 or 6 years ago that's from France called B-13. And it is an amazing movie. The trailer just came out for Brick Mansions. Check it out on YouTube. Go look up on YouTube.com Brick Mansions. Watch the trailer. It's really entertaining.
It looks
awesome.
It's
the idea of, like, the Warriors mixed with a little parkour.
Ultimate?
And mixed with a little Judgment Night. Like, that's kind of how I view that movie.
Okay.
So, my game on this week is a movie called Brick Mansions. Make sure you check that out. My game off is autoplay videos on social media, okay? I get it. You got a news feed. Somebody posts a video. As you're scrolling down, all of a sudden, the video starts playing. Well, I had some idiot post 35 or 40 of them back to back to back to back, completely taking up my entire timeline and feed on Facebook.
Right.
And I had no choice but to unfollow this man's page. I didn't unfriend him, but I unfollowed his page so I didn't see these because literally they're just playing over and over and over. Enough. Enough, everybody out there who keeps autoplaying and setting up autoplay videos. Facebook, turn it off. If I want to watch a video, I'll click on it. You've got me trained. I can go to YouTube and click on the videos I want to watch. If I want to watch Man on a Buffalo, that's what I'm going to go watch.
You better watch Man
on a Buffalo. All right.
One day.
Bobby, game on.
Game on is SLU University High School, College Basketball.
Okay.
Particularly two young men named Austin McBroom and his buddy Blake Corelli. And basically what they did is they recorded themselves. You know, these are kids who... they don't get to work a job because they play college basketball. They made the choice, though, but they don't get to work a job. But they took $100 out of their pocket apiece, took this guy, got him food. He's a homeless man. His name's Mike. Homeless man from the streets of St. Louis. Took him and got him KFC. Nice plug, Dan. KFC, took him and got him brand new clothes and everything.
What a nice idea.
It's a really cool video.
Cool gesture.
If you get a chance, go to YouTube and check it out.
All right.
Game off. Oscar Pistorius, whatever that dude's name is. Mm-hmm. Okay, look, you killed your girlfriend. You knowingly shot into that bathroom. Don't give me no crap that you thought somebody broke in. You're guilty of murder. Shut up and take the sentence.
Still faster than all the running backs on the Packers.
I will.
Still faster than
I will
all
shoot
of them.
You just through a bathroom
all of
door.
Them. Every single
and
one of them.
And if you do, you will go to jail.
Okay,
you
game off, Oscar Pistorius. Got it.
Yes.
All right, Jesse Barbin, our friend and guest here tonight.
I'd have to say for my game on this evening, my game on is simple. Work. If you don't have a job, work. Find a job. There's plenty of now hiring signs, et cetera, et cetera. I see so many people fighting for raising the minimum wage, et cetera, et cetera. However, no one is searching for a job. So game on. Start looking for a job. If you have a family, if you have friends, get a job.
All right,
start supporting yourself.
I can play with that one. What about your game off?
My game off is going to have to be this. Stop getting on social media and posting about how terrible your life is, then followed by the next day immediately talking about how great things are. No one wants to hear about how crappy your life is one day just to be followed by how amazing it is the next day. No one wants to hear it.
Hold on. I'm unfriending Jesse right now.
That's fine as long as I don't have to hear your crap one day.
Fair enough. No, I get it. So game off, people just crapping out their life on social media.
Sure, fair enough. Great summary.
All right, what about you, Dan Walsh? Game on.
What is she wearing today?
What is she wearing today, Dan? What does she got? She's what's the good hotness?
I'm game on.
Is she on makeup?
Short, dark hair.
We got the hair.
So, like
pixie style?
Nice.
Are we talking about pixie? Like short, dark hair. Little Anne Hae action?
A little bit.
Or Anne Hathaway.
Yeah. Short's a little too vague, though. Give us a range.
You can go to bop. It can go anywhere from...
It can go to the bop.
It can go anywhere from Anne Hae to the bop. But just short, spunky shows that you got like kind of a feisty little playful personality.
Nice.
Let's go with that. I like that for game
I live vicariously.
All right, I like that.
G.I. Jane to Miss Clinton. I get you.
Yeah.
All right, I get it. Okay, what's your game off then, sir?
Game off. Let me see. I have like three of them that I want to do, but I'm going to pick which one real quick that I... Okay. Game off. Well, you guys already hit on the Facebook.
Long hair.
I'm not going
to
do that.
No, you can. You can hit it on Facebook as long as it's another thing that has to do with social media. There's so many aspects to social media.
There is so many aspects to the social media. No, okay. Game off. People that have displayed on television that they are... I can't say that word. BS crazy. We all know what that means.
Yes.
And then they try to go on Twitter or Facebook, and then they try to tweet these like really inspirational and like euphoric messages as if we read these, we'll forget what they've done in front of the world that make them insane. And quit trying to fool us. We all know who you are.
I literally just go to Dwayne Johnson's Twitter page and I just steal whatever he says. And I just take off all the tags and stuff. And I'm just like, yeah, you know, whenever you're trying to like beat up on Hercules, make sure you're not tugging on God's cape. And then I just post, yeah, when you're trying to beat up on me, Hercules, don't post, like, don't beat up on Tug.
Well, I know when you tweeted at me the other day and it was like, Dan Walsh, The Rock says... You need to get out of bed and go to work. I kind of figured that you were stealing that from somebody.
Right. Well, he did. He literally tweeted out to everybody that Dan Walsh needs to get out of bed and
go to work.
Is
that what he did? Dwayne Johnson, always looking out for me.
He's like my
little half African-American, half Samoan angel sits on my shoulder.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank everybody for listening into the show today. We are definitely going to be doing a little overtime here as soon as the show's over on the download only. But first off, I want to thank 1420 WINI 1280 MKYRO for playing the show every single week. Thank you for listening to us every single week. Tell a friend, tell a family member, tell somebody else. Help us keep this little ship rocking and rolling here.
Absolutely.
Called The Q. Also, I want to thank Dan Walsh, as well as producer Bobby, of course, being my cohort in entertainment every single week. And I definitely want to thank our friend Jesse Barman. Thank you so much, Mr. Barman.
Thank you.
For coming on the show. I appreciate it. Is there anything you want to plug or talk about before we get out of here?
No. I appreciate you having me. Everyone, give Mark Bland a round of applause for hosting a great show, having me on this evening. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much,
sir. And I look forward to overtime.
All right. Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to go to theqnow.com. Roller Coaster Race 5K, Team Q. And you can always go to rollercoasterrace.com.
Come back next week. Bill Shatner, baby.
That's right. Yes. William Shatner will be on the show next week. We will see you guys later on the show. But you're an animal. Baby, it's in your nature. Just let me liberate you. You don't need no papers. That man is not your maker. And that's why I'm ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Overtime. Mark Bland, Dan Walsh, Jesse Barman, and our main man, producer Bobby, kicking it here with you guys.
Sometimes I feel
did you even know any of the words this
I
one?
I do, but you stopped too abruptly and it freaked me out.
In his defense, this is one of those songs that you just feel.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen,
you know, try and sing to it. You hum.
What we do in overtime is we like to get Dr. Dan out. You know what I'm saying?
Let's pull him out. Let's whip out Dr. Dan.
Dr. Dan is the man that we love to bring out.
Let's slap Dr. Dan on the table.
All right, Dr. Dan.
With commanding force.
I've got three different stories here, and Jesse, feel free to chime in anytime you want to, okay?
That I will do.
All right, fair enough. Mark, my life is in shambles, and I don't think I'm as bad off as the guy that wanted porn of his parents last week, but still, I am bad. Recently, me and my girlfriend, who haven't been getting along much, were getting pretty hot and heavy. We were mostly naked, but not completely, so I kissed her deeply and whispered into her ear, "You should lose some weight." Clothes? I meant to say clothes. Well, of course, that didn't fly, and she slapped the crap out of me, put her clothes on, and left. I haven't talked to her in a few days. Should I approach her, or is this just done? Is this just a done situation?
You fucked up. So you need to try and make it right.
That's, hey, baby. How you doing? Oh,
you need to, unless it's not worth it, then don't.
But, I think you need to lose some weight.
You just said, hey, listen, baby, I love the way you're rubbing against me, but your fat ass is squashing me. That's what you said symbolically. So go back and be like, yeah, I'm an idiot, and I'm sorry. If she means something to you, if she doesn't, hey, buddy, you just got free.
She meant something to him, though, he wouldn't have had that slip, if you will.
Yeah, I think do you really think she's fat? Because if you do, then there's a whole other issue. Did she at any point when you whooped out a Snickers bar go, oh, I want that?
Which was a prior letter that we've had.
At a study group.
Thank you, Dr. Dan. I've got another one for you, Dr. Dan. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys. Got more of a story than advice needs.
These are always the best ones.
This is more of a story. He's not looking for any advice, but he just wanted to let us know.
Here's how
the other day I asked for advice. The other day I'm searching through the house and I found a laser disc.
Yeah.
What do I do?
It's my cat's fucking. I don't even know how they recorded it on laser disc, but I jerk off to it, and now it's just my cat at home. Should I make a move?
I recently went out drinking with my tattoo artist brother-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
I was so wasted that I agreed to let him try working on me. I woke up with a tattoo. I woke up with a tattoo of an animated marijuana plant smoking a cigarette. I'm a lawyer by trade, and this will look just great when I'm defending clients in court. So there you go.
Where's the tattoo at?
You didn't say. That was the whole...
Don't practice law naked, dumbass.
There I'm assuming it's in some place that people can see relatively easily.
So
I would assume.
On his face?
Like on their
face?
Fucking forehead?
I don't think...
Those guys wear suits.
What the fuck? I don't know
this is what you do.
Bro, please don't look at my forehead.
This is what you do.
Incredible tattoo.
If you want to save yourself from this and get everybody's attention off of it in the courtroom, just get a swastika tattooed in your nose. Because I'm pretty sure after that, nobody will pay attention to the marijuana plant.
Yeah, nobody's
going to
care about the other stuff.
Yeah.
By any means.
Or
they may think you're ahead of the game and be like, I'm just trying to help with the legalization.
Yeah, just be like, listen, see how horrible this is? That's how horrible you accusing my client of doing this is. This is how I would turn it into a bullshit session.
OJ didn't kill that lady. What are you talking about?
I'd be like, if the glove doesn't fit, if the tattoo doesn't fit, you must have quit.
Fair enough. I like it.
Why don't y'all quit judging me and shit? You know, that's how I'd end it. All three rhyming words.
All right, here we go. Last story. Mark, big fan of the show, and I happen to be a black man dating a white woman.
I love black men. First of all, he said black man, and he didn't say African-American, so you need to correct him
You need to get your shit together, sir. This is fucking 2014, okay?
There really is nothing wrong with my relationship. We've been together for a few months, and she is great, but the other night we decided to take our relationship to the next step.
She saw the black mamba.
But there is a small problem with sex. How should I put this?
Who?
My anaconda in her garage.
Oh, I
literally, I am too big for her. Now she is a petite woman, and she does everything else sexually just fine. But I can see this I can't see this relationship progressing further, and I need to be able to be with her through intercourse. Any recommendations on stuff we can try? Anything Dan has done to make having sex with the easier for the smaller women he's with?
Fuck that. Hold on. First off, quit bitching that you got a big dick or whatever. A female vagina stretches a good 4 to 8 inches.
First of all, Bobby would have no idea what the hell he's talking about.
Fuck you, I got three kids.
That doesn't mean you're stretching a damn thing out, homie.
Whatever, fuck you.
Maybe her entrance is small. Maybe she's got a small entrance.
It'll fucking go back.
Yeah, once you break her pelvis.
I mean,
who fucking cares?
Who's prying her pelvis open with the anaconda?
Get your fucking rocks off, dude.
If they can push babies out of that shit, they can fit your dick in it.
If you can take a fucking watermelon and put it through the size of a fucking peanut, you're good.
Dude, I used to have sex with Asian girls, okay? And, like, they're known
for being... Was it sideways?
You used to? As if you won't do it no
more?
Well,
I just haven't in a while. But... And I've been told that I'm a little bit above average, so I'm not going to come on here and say that I'm this massive man, but, dude, just go in a little bit, then. I mean, you don't have to go all the way. You don't have to try and hurt her. And here's number one, don't brag about your dick, because I mean, if it's true, then I'm sorry for your misfortune of having a huge penis.
Exactly.
But number two,
it's a horrible
two,
horrible thing to be struck with, let's be honest.
Yeah, like,
God, your dick is just big.
I just picture
it's
the,
just so large.
I just picture the girl going like, yeah, I don't want to have sex because your dick's too big. That's it. That's the ticket.
I just
ticket.
See Bobby walking through Six Flags with me, chowing down on a turkey leg, talking about, remember that black guy's dick?
Yeah. I bet it was this big.
Do you remember how large he said? I bet it's as big as this turkey leg. Oh, my goodness.
And you know,
and now you'll never eat a turkey leg because you'll think of a black dick.
I mean, I think you're going to have to send us dimensions, like how big, because this is going to be pretty fucking big.
Well, he said anaconda and girth. Garage. So, and he referred to her vagina as a garage, so I don't see where the problem's coming in. Dude, I could fit an anaconda in my garage, technically speaking.
You could fit probably like four of them in there.
Probably more than four. Now
like five. So the problem is, probably. Get five of your friends with your humongous dicks and go ram it home on your girlfriend.
In her garage.
Because her garage is waiting.
That's your problem. Quit trying to have sex with her garage and use her vagina. This is probably where things went in the first place.
All right, guys, let's move on to some questions before we get out of here on overtime. What situation will always be awkward? Think of a situation that
the first time you have sex.
You think it's always awkward?
It's always awkward.
Where are you?
I don't think so.
The situation that's always awkward is that, and it happened to me a couple times, when you have a buddy, all right, and then you just randomly meet this girl who is around the area and that, but you find out that the guy, your newfound friend, has a sexual past with the girl that you're dating.
Oh.
Regardless of if they're cool, like, situationally, you know that you're Eskimo cousins with your newfound friend. So it's always awkward, and it really, like, for me in a couple occasions, I wasn't allowed to let anything go further because I'm like, my buddy's been inside this every time. Because once you've done it, that chance of it happening again could happen. So, like, they could get drunk one night. And it's you're asking for it. And
you know what other situation is always awkward to me? And I know that this is in the sexual realm.
When you go into the bathroom and the...
Finding large sums of money. Finding if you find like
horrible.
But no, seriously,
fucking amazing.
But if it's in a public place, like say you're walking through Six Flags and you see $200, like $200 bills just laying there on the ground, sometimes that plays in your head like that's quite a bit of money. It's not like just here's a $5 bill. Like you start talking about kind of money where people are noticing that, so they might be looking around for it. They might be coming back for it.
You just take it and hold it up near and be like, this is one motherfucker ain't gonna have gas money home.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. Yeah. You can't be awkward in that situation anyways, because especially if it's just a $100 bill laying on the ground, what are you going to do? Turn it into the authorities who are then just going to steal it from you anyways? Because it's $200 bills. What are you going to do with it?
You know what else is...
Hey, did anyone lose two $100 bills? I've got them right here.
You know what else is a very awkward situation is when Apple decides to release another damn iPhone every six damn months, okay? You know, that's an awkward situation because, like, I'm sitting there and I got a nice phone, but... I would like to spend and get the $700 new bad boy because this thing's going to, like, you know, touch myself and fuck the black guy with the anaconda girl.
Some people do that. Enough.
You know what I'm saying?
I have a question for you, Apple representative.
Apple guru.
All right. You guys make very, very good products, and you know that everyone on planet Earth is going to want to grab one of these products. And I haven't heard of this happening lately, but it used to happen that everyone would get it, and, of course, everyone would do it at the same exact time. And it would cause a crash of sort. So I haven't heard of it lately. Maybe the problem has completely been corrected. But you guys are smart at what you do. And you know that in marketing, you have to have projections. So is it just such an astoundingly overwhelming response to your product or to your sales pitches that surprises you? Or is it just something like I don't
know. Or is it by
design? You're talking to Jesse this whole time.
Well, I was going to ask him, and he's going to give me the real answer, and then I was going to let you elaborate and make it really fucking complicated so that nobody...
Good call. Good
so
call,
So if you
Dan.
Really want to know the behind the scenes, it's not about the product. It's about the lifestyle, about what it creates. It's like the environment that you're
it's
a
like
part
straight
of.
Edge.
So that's why people will...
It's like driving an Audi.
Well, it's probably not like driving an Audi because there's better things than driving an Audi. There's not much better in the cell phone industry or the mobile industry.
I don't know.
Than
Audi's
than
pretty
device.
Top now.
I mean, they're up there.
Yeah,
I mean, that's upper middle class.
You don't talk on an Audi, okay? You don't do
you
your
can
apps
talk to
on a fucking
Audi. Fuckhead.
I never put an Audi up to my head when I was wanting to fucking make a phone call to get the AAA guy out there.
That would be difficult. That would be difficult to put an Audi up
but
to
your
head.
But you could hit a fucking button.
But I was just interested because the top-notch product. It is a top-notch company. And I just wanted to know, like, you had to know just with your customer base from before and then always project that you're going to take on at least double that with a new product.
So where that comes in, though, is where you're seeing these major crashes aren't necessarily the device themselves. It's the overload of the carrier because everyone's activating on the same damn day. You do have hundreds of people waiting at every single store to buy these devices. They all activate at the same time. You're waiting 1 to 3 to 5 hours or 24 hours or whatever to activate your device. But, you know, as far as projections are concerned, you know, yeah, they do look into those things. And they have I guess it's incremental. They're not massive projections as far as, hey, we have 500 million now. We project 750 million next time. But it truly is the culture. That's why people will wait for days at a time to get these products. You don't see that for anything else. You don't see that for Bobby's Windows Phone or anything else out there.
Fuck you.
And that's why I think it's so unique. That's why I was like thinking that since I didn't hear this last time, did they just adapt to what would happen from carriers? Almost you have to make it idiot-proof. Is what I guess my question. Yeah. How do you idiot-proof your product and your marketing so that carriers and people don't all try to go at the same time? Because there's only so far you can go with technology.
We want that to happen.
He's not Steve fucking Jobs.
I know that.
Right. I mean, but that's what we drive, though. That we want that to happen. We essentially
they also don't have the same problem as a lot of the other carriers. They have one phone and one style in most cases. Now, that like once they move to the next version, that's it. All their people work on the exact same phone trying to develop things for that one phone. They don't have seven different new Androids that are all going to come out on the same day.
But you hear more because of the mass popularity of their product of these crashes coming with those items.
When you say crashes, are you talking about the inability to get them?
Well, like no. I mean, like my uncle would have a phone. Like, he always is right up on it. He always gets a new one. And he'll get it, and it was almost like a couple days, it'll just blank out, and then it will literally be like non-usable because there's so much shit going on that it can't keep
like
up
when
with
they
it.
Had to update to 7.1 or to the new operating system.
Now
iOS
once he
7.
Gets it on, it's flawless, but sure. It's almost like clockwork. You know that like right when he's a day one guy, man, he's got the money and he's got
but
the
I
style
wanna know,
to do it.
I want to know honestly, like what is he doing? Because yeah, okay, I fucked around with the Windows phones and all this other shit, but every Apple device I've ever had, I've never had that fucking happen.
Yeah, but did you get the brand new one on the day of?
Not the day of, but within... Well, like this one I didn't get within a couple weeks, but every other iPhone that's ever come out, I've gotten within a week or two.
Because I'm talking like mass releases, and I'm not saying it's everybody, but there's a huge number of people that I know that it's happened to, and it's a common problem, and I understand it. And I understand it from a marketing aspect. You're not going to not make money.
Right.
That's stupid.
Right.
But like, and I didn't hear about it this last time, so I'm not going to say that it's a continuing problem, but that always astonished me because I'm like, dude, these guys are going to have this massive launch. You know everybody's going to go grab it because it's the it thing. It's the latest in technology. Like, it's either one of those, because I'm a smart businessman to the point where at one point they don't give a shit about your convenience. It's right. They're going to get their money because they know in the long run you're going to stay and eventually you're going to have a product that's top notch. If it's going to make 2 days of inconvenience and they know you're not going to go anywhere else, why should they fix the problem and spend more money to do that when they, you know what I mean? It's one of those like go with what you'll lose as opposed to what you'll gain.
I just can't wait for the iPhone 6, you know, with the projection keyboard and the projection screen. It's going to be really fucking cool.
Which iPhone is going to have a hand that comes out and jerks you off while you're looking
that's
at the port?
That's 8. I think
here
that's
you go.
8.
No, it's right,
it's right here. That's the,
I'm testing that
that's
out
the prototype right now.
That's the prototype.
It's been in his pocket
Suri's
for 45
got
minutes.
Hands. They got her a little drunk at the Christmas party. She's a little bit more interactive
all
with
right.
you guys.
Last
one.
Question here on the show. If we had to pick one song to represent the human race, what would it be? One song to represent the human race,
Freak
what would
show.
It be?
I would say it's a song by Queen,
okay.
And it's called This Is the World We Created.
Okay.
If right. you listen to it, it explains mankind.
All right, Bobby, what about you, bud? What song?
Such a hard question. I don't know why, but when you said it, though, the first song that came into my head...
Mashed Potatoes and Gravy.
Was
Peanut Butter Jelly Time.
Peanut Butter Jelly Time. Peanut Butter Jelly Time. Was Semisonic Closing Time.
Really?
I don't know why.
Because of the massive alcoholism ratio that's going
you
in
you feel
North
that
America.
The country is closing down or the world is closing down on itself?
So yeah, we slowly but surely, we're coming to that closing time.
And we need to get the nearest female and...
Closing time.
And close the deal on her at closing time.
How about we didn't start the fire? And by that I mean, you know, the problems that we have today or 20 years prior to today or so on and so forth, it was just something that's inside of us that's going to continue regardless. I don't think we're ever going to collapse on ourselves. I don't think we're ever going to see that. We at least will not see that. However, things are going to progress. It's just who we are as human nature, and that's how we're going to continue to evolve.
Right. I'm going to say Offspring, Come Out and Play. That's where I'm going to kind of stick that one.
You got to keep them separated?
You got to keep them separated because as a society, we've just become way more separate from each other. We have just literally become more boxed. These people are over here. Vlad and Putin and all those guys are over there.
Good old Valerie.
The Chinese people are like everyone is trying. And we go out of our ways to make sure these borders stay intact. We want the Mexicans down in Mexico. We want the Canadians up in Canada. We don't want no one in the United States. Like, keep them separated.
Is anyone really bitching about the Canadians? Because they're so nice.
No, they're just like, so fucking quiet.
I think we could
quiet.
Use more Canadians. Especially
the
Northeast.
We could use a lot more Canadians. It's just the fact that I think the mentality now is the keep them separated
they'll
mentality.
Rub your back and make you pancakes and shit and play hockey with you. I think it's cool.
Now, talking about keep them separated real quick before we get out of here.
Okay.
Someone asked me this question a couple days ago. If they're besides,
sure, they love the response.
Fuck off.
Jesus.
Besides your cell phone, what is one thing that you cannot live without? Like, you can't go besides fucking oxygen and shit like that. Like, what is that one thing that for you to function, Dan, on a day-to-day basis, you have to have?
See, I pride myself on not being dependent on anything.
Mine would be my cell phone.
I could lose it. Now, would it be an inconvenience and horrible, and would I be off? I've lost my cell phone, and I've been without twice for 3 days. And at first, it was scary, but it wound up being the greatest feeling that I had
it
after
takes
a
while.
Because I, once again, started to open my eyes to what was around me. I'm so trapped in that thing now. I kept a basic phone for a reason.
Right.
This thing sucks my life out. So when it's gone, I love the fact that I might break down and no one will be able to come get me and I'll have to walk. It's as exciting. Because remember, we didn't always have this shit.
Right. True.
And we
Very
were so
true.
Much more functioning. We could read maps. We could do shit because nothing was doing it for us.
Well, you still can.
And you get... No one does. Just,
nobody does.
We were more inceptive. The music, the culture, everything is getting shallower and shallower because we don't have to think as much because everything's done. And that is our demise as a, I would say... a philosophical society, and as our demise is even an intellectual society, because we don't have to think outside the box because the box is right there in front of us with digits to make calls.
Oh, yeah. I had the argument on the show just, what was it, 3 or 4 months ago before you were on the show, Dan. The argument is that we don't have to think for ourselves anymore. If we have a question, we just Google.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's it. Now all of our thoughts and our processes.
I'm not against that, though.
I'm not against it. I'm just saying that that's a part of it.
That's your bread and butter, man.
I don't. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on Overtime. We're going to get out of here, and I want to say thank you to Jesse Barbin for jumping on the show today. Thank you so much,
Appreciate you.
Also, Producer Bobby, thank you so much. Dan Walsh, I appreciate that. We're going to get him on the Superman ride. I see it. I can see it.
I probably will do it, but I'm telling
William
you.
William Shatner
we're
will
gonna
do
get,
it.
We're going to get William Shatner to talk you into it.
I'll be like, William, if you can beam me aboard that motherfucker, I'll do it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on The Q. We will see you guys next time. There's a place on the corner of Cherry Street.